The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And we are just pumped and jacked for this game coming up Sunday night. Football Night in America features the New England Patriots against the Denver Broncos.
They're going to really be jacked up for this game.
And I just can't wait. The weather report's getting colder as we speak, right? Has anyone seen the latest? I heard maybe snow.
Yeah, I saw a chance of snow, flurries, 20 degrees, not as windy as initially predicted. I saw low teens and, you know, 10-mile-an-hour type winds, but chance of snow, and it's going to be cold. It's going to be 20 degrees or so.
And we'll talk about
real cold.
We'll talk about who we might think that favors in this show. Of course, we've got the picks at the end of the show, and we'll finally say who we all think will win this game. And I got a feeling it's not going to be unanimous, but we'll see. That'll be at the end of the show. But for now, you can engage with us about any Patriots NFL topic you want. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline, and 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. So guys, you know, any more lingering thoughts that we didn't get to yesterday, because we do want to spend time on this game coming up, but it's still a hot topic, the Carolina game.
Well, I don't know how we can move on when apparently, reportedly, Bill Belichick didn't 100% move on. Mike Reese had the story on ESPN Boston today that Belichick showed a film of a Browns-Lions game from a few years ago with a very similar ending, a little opposite. The home team was on offense and got the call, and it was. But I find that interesting. And Mike didn't really have, other than knowing that Belichick showed it to the players, didn't really have a concrete explanation of his message and what he was sending. He kind of.
Yeah, I found that a little odd. First of all, I think it's out of character for him because he does tend to move on right away. And I don't see where that really benefited his team to do that other than, you know, we should have won the game. I don't know. I don't know why he bothered to do that.
I find it hard.
I don't know about the accuracy, the context, or anything
right.
like that.
I find it hard to believe that it has anything to do with we should have won the game. If he did it, there was some sort of moving forward message involved. Now, I don't know exactly what that is, but I find it hard to believe it was simply we got jobbed or whatever.
It could be you just never know with these games. So when you leave it in the hands of the officials, one game they could call it this way, and here's proof, and we saw last night that they called it another way. So you never know. You don't want to leave games in the hands of the officials.
Maybe.
That could be the message.
That was one of Mike's theories that he posed.
I just would have liked to have had a what he said or kind of the message.
I did think it was interesting. He was on EEI yesterday, and he said that when asked, you know, do you think that these plays should be reviewed? And he pretty much said, I think everything – I've always thought everything should be reviewed. So
I couldn't disagree with him more. I don't – now, if he's talking about, I guess, the college system where it's sort of reviewed in the background.
Right.
Okay, that's fine if there was some system – but if they're talking about coaches can ask for – you know, a backside illegal contact to be called. Or,
right.
No.
It would have to be what you're talking about, where it's done behind the scenes, and only when it's so obvious that, you know, one of those officials say, no, we got to review that. I like that. And I'll tell you, you know, not to, you know, pat myself on the back, but back in the 90s, I wrote in PFW that that's a system that the NFL should adopt, where the official on the field has a buzzer. And that when those officials in the booth feel that they get buzzed and they know to, you know, stop the play and go, you know, to the booth.
Yeah, but what's reviewable? Well, you missed a hold. It was obvious you missed it.
No, no, no.
So now we're going to have
nothing
holds.
Nothing like that.
Because, I mean, how often do they show, you know, a pass rusher and a left tackle, and it could have been a hold? Legitimately, you missed the call.
I think right now, you know, obviously turnovers and scoring plays are reviewable.
Correct.
I think anything around the end zone should be subject to review. Those are all really, really important plays.
But what does that mean?
They
like,
are
it's
reviewed.
Not just when it's a scoring play.
No, but if you say
you're talking about
an
automatic review, I mean, you can review a play. If you think a guy got
I'm
in.
I'm talking about if we instituted this new system where people in the booth could buzz in at any time of the game.
I think there has
to be restrictions on, okay, we're not calling holding or offsides false
eliminate
starts.
Penalties.
But pass interference.
But I think any time there's something around the end zone that affects scoring or not scoring, I think that should be subject to review.
But including penalties?
I'm not sure about that.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you need to make a distinction for the end zone. I'm with you. I think that every play should be reviewed. I think like college football, every play is subject to review. You don't have to, I mean, you can specifically challenge a play and you're limited to the amount of times you can do that. But if the guy up in the booth looks at a play and says, that doesn't look right, I'm going to take an extra look at that one. He buzzes down.
But those
and
are usually
fine.
For inbounds, out of bounds.
It's for anything.
Things.
Whether he
it's
caught
not
the ball,
penalties.
It's you can't do it for penalties.
Right.
That's
not
what
penalties.
I'm saying.
Right.
But you can do it for every play.
Right. Right.
So none of this fixes anything involved with this game.
No.
And, no.
And so we're talking generally about replay.
And right. I didn't hear the whole. I heard the snippet, and we talked about this off air. I didn't hear the whole context of what Bill said. I heard Mike Salk ask him if he thought everything should be reviewed, and Bill answered, "I've always felt that way." And I don't know if he's talking about everything being penalties. Because I didn't hear the rest of the conversation. If so, I'm with Andy and you, Fred.
Well, I think you open up a can of worms.
I wholeheartedly disagree. I don't think penalties should be subject to review. Now, that's coming from the number one basher of officiating, but if you do that, you're opening up, frankly, a game I really don't want to watch. I mean, you're going to look at every play to see if it was holding or pass interference or who jumped offside, who lined up in the neutral zone, was this formation? Come on.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right. They have enough officials on the field to cover that part of the game. Now, whether they do a good job or not, that's another. But they've got a guy looking.
No, we know they don't.
At every play, right at the line.
But that would be like the NBA going to review for every hand check
or travel.
I mean,
or every ball out of bounds. Like they can go in the last 2 minutes and look to see who the ball was off of. Could you imagine if they did that every time the ball was out of bounds?
But even out of bounds to me is a black and white thing. But if you opened it up to fouls in the NBA being reviewable,
oh, forget it.
No one would watch.
And then it opens up the can. What about non-fouls? What about when you didn't call it, but there was a foul?
And that's what I'm saying.
Right.
If you can't just open it up to one side. It has to be. If you bring some penalties in, then it's both sides that can either ask that it didn't happen or it did happen. And
right. Because let's just say that referee didn't throw the flag against Carolina, and there was an obvious foul, that would never be reviewable if it was only when there was a flag thrown.
Terrible. Yeah. Sorry. You got jobbed. You got screwed. They've right. changed their explanation a couple times. Everyone knows you got hosed. Sports science proved it with physics. And you got hosed.
And we're not the first team to ever get hosed, and we won't right. be the last, and it won't be the last time we get hosed.
And the bottom line is be happy. Right. You have a chance to win the Super Bowl because the offense is back.
You're 7-3.
Right.
7-4.
Oh, so a little foreshadowing on who Andy's picking.
I need the weather report, though.
Well, it's going to be cold.
I know it's going to be cold. I'm not worried about the cold.
You're not worried about the cold.
Why'd you say faster?
Because that's what you said.
I'm worried about the snow. If it snows, I put Peyton Manning in the land of Kurt Warner. I'm taking the Patriots.
Why? Why? What's the difference between...
I think he's a whack job in his head, and he sees snow and freaks out.
You think it's a psychological.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would say that...
I think he has an anxiety problem.
I don't really care about the snow as much as if there's wind.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm not talking. And there's not going to be based on all... It's going to be in the manageable wind stages.
I said like 15 to 20 mile hour gusts.
Yeah, it's actually going down, though.
Oh, is it?
What I've seen. It'll be more early in the day / early, and then the game, the night, is going to be less.
Yeah.
According to WeatherBug.
Yeah, it's going
to
be about 20 degrees by the time the game happens.
Now, the question
is, winds,
what's the weather right now in Denver? What is Denver practicing in? I'd like to know that. Because I think that makes a difference. If they can have a week of cold weather practice, that helps
That might
them.
Help them. You know, and Denver can be so wildly inconsistent with the weather.
Right.
Because of the Rockies.
Cold. It can be very cold there, and then all of a sudden, you know, we were seeing...
balmy.
He was doing a press conference outdoors like last week.
Oh, yeah.
So it couldn't have been that cold.
It could be mild weather.
Right.
Yes.
Right, Fred.
That means nothing.
But that's a good point. If it's a little, maybe a little bit unseasonably cold, that might help Denver.
Right.
Who knows?
But if it snows, I think he starts sweating.
Yeah, to me, it's all about wind.
Looks like it's going to be breezy, 15 to 22 from the north.
From the north.
Here. Look up Denver's weather today or yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yesterday,
I don't know
today,
if they have yesterday's
tomorrow.
Weather from the past.
Now I did talking to some people. Weather from the past. Talking to some people, wondering about how much the wind. Because
people are you talking to?
It's cold, Fred. Today their high is only 23, and it's
he's snowing. Ready.
He's ready. He's getting ready.
Now I want to see if he does his press conference outside today.
Good point, Freddie.
It's 90%.
23 degrees. I would have never thought it would be that cold.
And 90% chance of snow today.
It's that cold in this room.
Yeah, well, it's. I'm not sure it's up to 23 in this room.
Fred's nipples are hard.
Again, you know.
Always on his mind.
Yeah.
Cold weather makes your nipples hard. It has nothing to do with sex.
I think are not Peyton yours. Manning,
are not what?
are not
yours.
When did Eric come in?
Sound like Ben Franklin doing one of those commercials for the Masons.
The Freemasons. I think
proper English.
Are not your nipples hard?
The current version of Manning, I think, may be affected a little bit less. And not because of anything physical, but I don't think he throws the ball downfield as much as he used to. I think a lot of his stuff is around the line of scrimmage. A lot of it is short, relying on yards after catch.
However, if you've got two cranky ankles, could the cold weather affect that?
That's not going to feel good.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel anything at game time.
But based on what
I
saw last week.
The needle go in and nothing else is after that.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Based on the horse tranquilizers he got last week, I'm not sure anything is going to penetrate.
I was just on a call with a sponsor who one of the people that works for them
is kind of a big
is an ex-player. And he said, he goes, you know, I don't know how we did it. I had a high ankle sprain. It feels like a broken leg. I don't know how he did what he did.
Injected.
So I just wonder.
Liquid muscle.
I mean, did he really have a traditional high ankle sprain, or are they just calling that? And it's, I mean, could he have played on a real high ankle sprain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I think him. I don't think anybody. I mean, he doesn't move. It's not really that much.
I guess,
think about what Gronk played with his ankle in the Super Bowl. And then he had surgery immediately.
And did you see his Manning's ankle the other day? Not only was it clearly medicated and injected, they had what appeared to be one of those hard air casts underneath, and then multiple tape jobs over that. I mean,
I think he could have gotten hit on it.
It was splinted.
Still not felt
right, it was essentially splinted.
I know, but it's still pain, man.
Of course he was in pain.
Yeah, it's mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
Wow.
Well,
but
anyway.
I do think, you know, you go back and you look at the Indianapolis games, and I think that he was affected. I think the weather, you know, visibly affected some of his throws, and I don't think that he I think that's going to be a big part of the game plan, I think, for the Patriots defense, is try to force him to throw the ball outside the numbers a little bit and get the ball downfield a little bit. if you can tackle and you can take away some of the screens, they've run so many screens this year that have been successful. Lately, those have been getting taken away a little bit more often. Since the Indianapolis, I thought Kansas City did a really good job with that. San Diego did a pretty good job of it, too. Now, they got beat on one that Thomas took for a touchdown. But they did a better job, I think, against those short throws and tackle. If you can,
right.
If you can tackle.
Oh, well, right. That's not a pro. Oh, wait, Kyle.
But don't you think, and I said it yesterday, don't you think that success against Manning will be all about the pressure and less about the coverage? Because let's face it, if he's got time, he's going to connect.
I mean, we've seen the Patriots do it the other way over the years. We've seen the Patriots go after him by trying to cover, trying to confuse.
Yeah, with better guys back there.
Sometimes. Not. I mean, definitely better
or
than.
Or healthy, at least healthier guys back
there. And we don't know who's going to be back there at this point. I mean, there's a possibility it's Tlaib and Dennard, right? And Gregory McCourty. Your four starters. There's a possibility.
But, you know,
I don't see it likely, but.
We saw game plans like Rodney Harrison taking out the tight end, Dallas Clark. You know, we've seen game plans where Rodney Harrison creeps up to the line and then hands off the mm-hmm. receiver to the cornerback and then tries to put pressure or at least defend the run if he has the option.
But that was all about coverage. That was all about confusing Manning or giving Manning things
right.
to deal with in coverage.
I mean, can we do those kind of things? I'm not sure we can. I think
But you can't blitz either. If you blitz, he'll kill you. The issue is Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich and Chris Jones and whatever need to earn their money.
They need to get to him.
I think they need to blitz a little
bit. I think Paul's right. I don't think they're going to go downfield. I think he's going to want to get it out of his hand as quick as possible because they're going to assume the Patriots are going to want to get to him with two bad ankles. You know, I think we just got to beat him at that. You know, at some point, you just got to execute better than they. You can't.
Well, yeah,
you can't trick them on every play.
No matter what you do, that's true.
Yeah.
If you're trying to confuse him and mix up coverages, you still have to play the coverages well. It's not like you.
No, I understand.
Trick him. You need to execute within the coverages.
But I think more than ever, I've seen this team against Manning. I think it's just flat out get to his ass. I mean, as immobile as he's been in the past, he's even more now.
Right.
So get to him.
Can you do that?
I, that's the question, and I think if they don't, they lose.
Yeah. Now, it is – listen, I think that they need to blitz a little bit, not a lot. I think they do need to blitz in some key spots. And I would – normally I would say never. You don't want to go after him because he's too dangerous. But you do watch – you know, that Kansas City game was eye-opening to me, how quickly he was getting the ball out. And – not to wide open receivers either. I mean, he was just making some that throw down the sideline to Thomas. I mean, he's throwing the ball 30 yards in the air, and the ball's leaving his hands within 2 seconds, and he just drops it right into the bucket.
But if that's
you can blitz
the case,
on that play, and you're not getting
now,
that.
I would say that Kansas City's defense right now is better than the Patriots. But if the Patriots can keep the Colts in the 20s, I'm good with that. I'm assuming and I'm hoping that the Patriots score in the 30s.
Right.
In this game.
I agree.
So if the Patriots, if we can keep them to 29 or less, I feel like the Patriots have a chance to win this game.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And I think that's possible. We've seen that it's possible.
Anything possible?
I don't think it is.
You don't think it's possible?
Not without multiple turnovers.
Yeah. Well, I think some of this pressure is going to cause one. I think, you know, one of these times he's going to, because of the ankles, maybe short arm a ball and – you know, hopefully someone's going to be in the middle there to catch that short ball, you know? I think there will be turnovers, you know?
Yeah, they could be. Denver's turned the ball over a lot.
Yeah.
They fumble a lot.
So, you guys are done? That's it? We'll wrap up the show?
Well, I mean, if we're just going to say what we hope is going to happen, I mean, we could do that. I mean, yeah, you know.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm hoping the Patriots can keep them in the 20s. Even if it's 29 points, I think you got a chance to win there.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, I think you have a chance to win in the 30s, too. I mean, I think the Patriots' offense can get in the shootout and maybe outscore them. Mm-hmm. I don't think that will happen, but I think it could happen. Right?
Yeah.
I think the Patriots are capable of scoring in the 30s.
Couple fortuitous calls. 38-34.
No, I'm just wondering where you cross. Like, if you win 30-29, was that not
shootout.
A shootout or
not just shootout?
When do you cross the line into shootout?
In the 30s, is a shootout to me. Yeah. Okay.
I think, you know, you get in the high 20s. Both teams are over 25. To me, that's a shootout.
Then I think the Patriots could win a shootout.
In today's NFL, you think that's a shootout? Both teams in the 20s? High 20s?
Yeah, the average scoring is like 46 or something. So both teams
that's
are in the high 20s.
That's what I'm saying. 20s. That's average.
So both teams are over 25. You're in the 50s. So it's above average. Yeah. That's a shootout.
And we got our fight.
Can't even get a sentence.
I just think that
we're going to argue about statistics.
I just think shootout has changed in the NFL.
But it's such a subjective thing, too. Like, what you think is a shootout. I mean, I think the other night was pretty close to a shootout. There was no defense played. Both teams moved the ball up and down at will. But it was only 24-20. So it wasn't a shootout in score, but nobody forced any punts.
Well, you can also get a shootout.
There was three punts in the game.
Score that ends up because you had a pick
turnovers,
six, a kickoff return
absolutely.
For a touchdown, or whatever.
It's such a subjective thing. Like, what you think is a shootout might not be.
You know it when you see it.
I agree. I agree. And, like, the Super Bowl that the Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers, to me, was a shootout. 32-29.
Right.
That's exactly the score Andy just kind of described, 30-29.
Yep. It's because
it was a shootout for parts of it.
Right, exactly. It's because it came so quickly and so
just
bunched
the,
up.
The second and fourth quarters.
Right.
As Bill talked about last week.
Quickly on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Noel has a Denver weather report. Hey,
nice.
Noel.
Hello.
Hello.
A second and fourth quarter.
Okay, you got to turn down the internet.
Yeah, I'm turning it off.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Who's? Am I online?
No, you're on the show. PFW in progress here, Noel.
Oh, I'm already there.
Yes.
Oh, okay. How you doing, guys?
We're doing well.
Well, good. Hey, it's 16, 17 degrees here this morning in Denver. Wow.
Okay.
So you know, and it's going to be cold, but Peyton's probably practicing inside with his glove on.
I see. Big mistake if that's what they're doing. I doubt that. Yeah. What's it going to be? What's it going to be for like tomorrow and Saturday? Saturday morning.
It'll get warmer, but it's not going to be real warm this week till probably Saturday.
Okay.
Are they leaving on Saturday?
They usually leave Saturday afternoon or midday, noontime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I missed your show on Tuesday, and you probably covered this already. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Carolina game, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Yep.
I have a couple of questions. One is, Josh seemed to call such a good game for most of it, but that call on third down was, I'd just like to get your feelings on that, if I might.
A lot of people, you know, think that that wasn't the call to make. The question is, was that the call that came in from the sideline? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, both sides seem to be under the bus.
Tom probably changes it, what, 40-50% of the time anyway?
Right. So, I mean, there's been comments from both sides. When I say sides, I mean McDaniels and Brady that, you know, it could have been either. So it's not conclusive as to, you know, who made the call or who was the final decision maker on the call.
Okay. Well, here in Denver, since Manning's been here, they've been walking around like an old Chevrolet station wagon. And, you know, the thing is I feel that Brady is the better quarterback. Brady has done more with less than Manning has. However, being alive to watch this is like watching an Ali Frazier fight, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. But I really believe that after watching Denver a lot, because I live here, and seeing Kansas City games, because I have DirecTV, so I watch them all, I don't think either one of those teams are as good as Carolina on defense.
Possibly.
Denver certainly is.
Yeah.
And I think the Pats will put up close to 40 points and hold the Broncos probably about 24. That's my recommendation. That's how I feel about it. I'd like to know how you guys feel. Okay.
Yeah, nice win.
Well,
yeah, I don't believe the Patriots will be blowing out the Broncos Sunday. Yeah.
Well, the question is,
what is a blowout?
How has the Denver,
40-something to 24.
Has the Denver defense gotten better since giving up 49 points to the Cowboys?
Yeah, that's really their only bad performance of the year.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I mean, they've played 10 games. Seven of them they've allowed 23 or less.
Okay.
So they had really one bad game that skewed their numbers. And their numbers aren't that terrible.
Why was that game so bad, do you think?
They just played poorly.
Nothing that Dallas did.
Dallas played well.
Dallas is relatively talented.
I know, but if you're watching the tape and you're Bill Belichick, is there anything that you could take from what Dallas did?
You know what Denver looked like that day? Pittsburgh against the Patriots. Like Terrence Williams just running free, 83-yard touchdown runs. just wide open guys, key spots.
But why?
I don't know.
Why? You just think they had a bad day?
You know, why did Pittsburgh not cover Rob Gronkowski? I don't have the answer for you. I know Andy likes to say they just didn't cover anybody. I don't know why Dick LeBeau decided to go with, the dreaded cover no. He covered nobody.
He has Alzheimer's.
He followed that up, by the way, the next game against Detroit by giving up 400 yards in the first half, and then suddenly Detroit decided not to throw to Calvin Johnson in the second half. I don't know why they were so bad that game, but they were absolutely pathetic.
Neither team could stop the other team. It's just, and so I'm just wondering, the Patriots have, I think, as good an offense as Dallas did at that time. If there was something that they were doing that is a bad matchup for Denver, I'm sure we could recreate that because of the multiple different types of players we have. So I'm just wondering if there's anything to learn from that game that we can exploit.
I'm not worried about the same time, in any way.
If there's something that Denver couldn't do then, have they rectified it? Have, with Von Miller back, or, is there anything that they've added to their defense since then?
Well, that is one thing.
Certainly Von Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been back. He has a couple, 2.5 sacks, I think, whatever it is, and he's been making some plays. That worries me. Him on that side with Marcus Cannon worries me. I think Marcus Cannon could be in for a long day against Von Miller. But to me, it's irrelevant. The Patriots offense is going to be in the 30s. I will be stunned if the Patriots offense is not in the 30s. The only question is, where's the Broncos offense? Is it in the 20s, the 30s, or the 40s?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm not worried about the Patriots offense. I don't know if they'll get in the 30s, but I'm not worried about that. They won't be because of the offense that they lose.
There's not a hurricane. They're going to score 30.
Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo, who's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
What's up?
I'm a little worried about this game coming up, to be honest with you, considering all the injuries we have on defense. But, I surely want them to win, but if we had to lose a game, I think I'd rather lose this game. As a fan, I would rather lose this game than the one in the playoffs if we were to face them again.
Well, yeah.
Yes, that is definitely true.
I'm not sure I can agree with that.
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure I can agree with that.
That's true. Super Bowl is in New York. Who wants to go to that? We're obviously being facetious.
Being sarcastic. I know that they say that the second coming around, it doesn't dictate in the first game what happens in the second one, but it's just me as a fan that it just fears me that, we win and then we meet them in the playoffs again, and it's even more tougher now.
Okay, well, you don't want to win this game.
I'll tell you this.
That's what he's saying.
But if the Patriots play well and lose, okay, there's some hope for the playoffs. Okay, we can beat this team. But if the Patriots beat Denver, I feel even better about a playoff matchup.
Well, also, Fred, if you lose to Denver, let's say your records come down to a tie. You're both division winners. You're both tied. That means you have to play that next game in Denver, where historically this team doesn't win games.
Right.
So I generally go with I want to win.
I always want to win anyway.
If I have to play a team in the rematch, I want to go into the rematch having beaten the team the first time.
Yeah. Right. Having Every beaten time. Them and hopefully having that game happen at your place.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the, it's hard to beat a good team twice. I'll take my chances being the team that's better.
Yes.
And I think if you win the game, generally you're considered better.
Absolutely.
I'll take my shot.
Especially if you buy into anything about Peyton Manning and his psychology and Brady and Belichick, I think it's better to have beaten him because now he's got that on his mind.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
It's never good to lose.
I'm banking on Tate Manny throwing up a stinker in the cold, so.
Okay.
Hope for that.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. Eric's here.
Hi, Fred.
Just coming off the practice field.
It's beautiful out.
Is it?
It really is. For this time of year, yeah.
I thought it was cold.
Not really.
It's just cold in here.
So they're the ones that get the preparation, and we don't.
Yeah, I guess so.
What do we got for temperature up there?
I'd 30s, say
40s?
I'd say it's probably in the upper 40s, but there's no wind.
We're ill-prepared.
What, three layers on plus the jacket? So you were well-prepared.
Yeah, I was well-prepared.
46, according to my phone.
Plus a scarf. See?
Right.
So we're practicing in conditions nothing like what it's going to be Sunday night.
No,
20 and windy.
Right. Sunday night's going to be...
But Manning is practicing in the 20s right now.
Watch how we turn this around now.
Everybody, just like yesterday, everybody except Hooman.
Okay.
Poor Hooman.
Yeah.
So Dennard again,
any,
Gregory again,
Tlaib injury?
Again.
Okay.
Who,
it's
man?
Knee.
Yeah, but left knee. Did anybody say anything about it?
Left knee. It looked I don't know if you saw it, Fred, when Hooman was on the sideline against Carolina when he was getting the treatment.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
No. He looked like a guy who was resigned to the fact that this is it.
Yeah.
So for the season.
Not on IR
anyway.
Yet.
Well, Vince Wilfork, it took them how long before they put him on IR? Several days?
I don't remember the answer to that question.
Several days is the answer
but
to that
the
question.
Report came out immediately that he had torn his Achilles. That was that,
yeah.
that
he
night.
Had surgery.
There was a report that
he
had surgery Monday morning. He
sending out photos.
He tweeted out his picture of himself on Monday morning.
That might have more to do with the fact that maybe people don't consider Hooman that important enough of a player that they need to go and dig more about him. That's unfortunate because he has been, I think, a very productive player for them this year.
Sure. He's done well.
Yeah.
And losing him
unremarkable,
is...
Unremarkable, but...
Well. No, unremarkable, but... Steady, consistent. When Gronk wasn't out there, he was out there performing.
Nice guy.
Nice guy. Right. Yeah.
It would be a big deal if Gronk, you know, was still dealing with his
sure.
issues. But
well, we got Mulligan.
I agree with you.
We
I
brought him in and
was
we went.
A steady, reliable performer with Gronk out of the lineup.
Can Devlin do anything that Hooman was doing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly. And I think we saw some of that the other night.
We got Mully. We got Devy.
7-3.
But yeah, no word on specifically. What he did, other than it was his left knee that was getting treated. And
what'd you see from Dennard?
Any gate watch?
His,
you know,
that's
their gates.
The security guys do that.
How are the various gates?
Tlaib doesn't really have
Gary
have
we
anything.
Got the UBID gate on the north end.
Paul
Tlaib doesn't really have much to speak of.
Not much of a gate.
Not much of a well, other than his normal
swagger,
strut like swagger, right? Yeah. Dennard still. Is noticeably limping, and if you know the report about his operation is accurate, then that makes perfect sense.
Right,
but he's out there still, which is incredible. I think. I mean,
so it's not the kind of thing where, you know, the doctors say you got to stay off that.
Well, at least not for practice purposes.
Right.
I still would be stunned if he's on the field Sunday
too.
Night.
Oh yeah.
But I had an athletic trainer tell me yesterday he had a college basketball player who had a minor meniscus procedure who recovered in 10 days. It was a 10-day recovery.
Meaning he was back playing?
Or at least practicing, but yeah, at a high level, whatever it was. Which,
okay.
I mean, I'm assuming he had surgery either Friday night or Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Because he was limited in practice on Friday.
Right.
And not on practice.
Not at practice at all.
Somewhere in that window.
I'm guessing that weekend, either Friday night or Saturday.
Right.
He went.
So, you know, 8, 9, 10 days from that would say he couldn't play.
Right.
Because 10 would be. But if 10 is an option, then something slightly under it, I guess, would be. I'd still be stunned, but.
I mean, let's say he had it on Saturday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 4 days later, he was on the practice field.
Right.
And he's out there again today.
But as we said yesterday, it's not just about being out there. It's about then covering Demaryius Thomas or Eric Decker or maybe Wes Welker.
The way I'm seeing him jog around, there's no way he can do that
now.
And what was it, a good 2-3 weeks that we saw Amendola on the practice field looking like he absolutely positively
couldn't
play
move,
before he actually got back on the field. It was at least 2 weeks, I think. Before he got back on the field. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that he's at practice to me is not an indication that he'll play on Sunday.
It is a remarkable thing this year, though. Guys like you just mentioned Amendola and now Dennard, guys who have gotten hurt and look like seriously hurt, and then 2 days later, there they are on the practice field.
I think it speaks to a little bit of the desperation that they have with, you know, maybe a little bit of a lack of depth at certain spots. And you see, you know, they made some moves. We talked about in preseason about how the defensive tackle spot was an area that we were all kind of concerned about. You know, beyond Vince and Kelly, you know, what did they have? And then you see those guys go down, they have to go out and trade for Isaac Sopawaga. You know, what do they have as, you know, sub-pass rushers beyond Ninkovich and Chandler Jones? Well, we're going to go with Michael Buchanan. Well, that was just okay. Jake Beckett hasn't been able to do anything. Let's go out and sign 111-year-old Andre Carter. So I think it's a little bit of an indication that, you know, we need to get these guys out in the practice field. We don't want them to get too far behind because we need them back out there as fast as we can because we're not sure what we have behind them. That's why I was throwing out my Nnamdi Asomugha yesterday.
Let's go to Patrick.
Still out there, right?
With no bases.
That would be awesome.
Let's go to Patrick in Brooklyn. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
A couple of things about the game from the other day. Now, again, I've missed a couple of your shows, so hopefully.
Whoa. Why are you missing shows?
I've been a guy that's been at times critical of Josh McDaniels. In other words, I think he's very creative, but I think that sometimes the timing of what he calls as a play sometimes, you know, it's just not appropriate. And I'll give you an example. In that game, there was a 3rd-and-1 in a really critical situation. And what he decided to do was get cute, in my mind, and have Brady pass out of that, pass in that play. I believe what we should have done was 3rd-and-1 that deep. The running game was going. We were playing power football. Just have them run the ball. Maybe you could even think about 2 downs. But because of that pass play, we ended up having to kick the field goal. And I felt if he had kept the ball on the ground, and I was praying that he would run the ball, I thought if he kept the ball on the ground, we would have gotten that 1st down and probably gotten the touchdown and not been in the predicament that we were in at the end of the game. Your thoughts?
I mean, a lot of people have said the same thing. I can't argue with it.
There is a little bit of, you know, overthinking it in what they decided to do, that, you know, it's a short yardage situation. We think they're going to bite up on the play action. We're looking for a walk-in touchdown from James Devlin. There's a little bit of trickery or outthinking there, but I actually don't have a huge problem with it. It's what they've done so often, and I just, it didn't work. They didn't
execute
it.
I probably would have run the ball.
But
I don't have any problem at all.
The
running game going, I want to pump the brakes on that a little bit.
At a point, he might have had no wide receivers on the field. Maybe they were 3 tight ends. I was really impressed with that whole scheme and what they were doing. And I just think that sometimes he outthinks himself, Josh McDaniels. And I've always believed that, and I'll let you guys go at this point, I've always believed that if Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator, we have another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
The only thing is we hated him, too, when he was here.
Yeah,
killed his
Charlie
play
Weiss
too.
Got the same criticism.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to be too
He's cute. Always trying to trick him.
Mm-hmm. What, you know, does every game have to have an end-around fake? You know,
tight end?
He was padding his resume. That was the common thing. Everybody thought he was padding his resume to get a job.
He's got to show his creativity.
I think every offensive coordinator has come under the same.
Yeah, I probably would have run it in that situation, but I don't have any problem with the call. I think the call was a good one. I know it sounds stupid. It should have been there. I mean, by all rights, it should have been there. But it
That's
wasn't.
What they're thinking.
But it wasn't. So what are you going to do? I think a lot of teams, let's put it this way. If James Devlin popped wide open like Tom Brady said he thought it was going to happen and he walked into the end zone, how many people would have said, what a terrible call, they should have just run it? It worked,
right.
But they should have just run it.
Lots.
None.
None, right?
None.
I think it's one of those things that you criticize the result as much as anything else. And, you know, I think that's unfair. I have a question for you guys. Because I've heard, in regard to this play, I've heard this a lot. It was 3rd-and-1 from the 8-yard line. Assuming they did not lose yardage on a run, would you have gone for it on 4th down?
No.
I wouldn't have. And you know me, I'm the king of going for it.
Woods have taken my points.
I think in a game like that,
I think you've got to take the lead.
Yeah.
You got to take the lead there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Halfway through the fourth quarter, you got to take the lead.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
I agree.
You know, it would have been interesting.
Talk about a criticizable call if he goes for it there and they don't
get it. But I've heard a lot of people with their defense of they should have run the ball there
and make it a
saying, run it twice.
Right.
Well, if you don't get it on the first one, I'm not sure you're going for it. Now,
right.
Bill may have. Bill is very aggressive with 4th down calls. He may have. But I'm not sure I would have.
But then why couldn't you have gone for it on 4th-and-1 after the pass?
Good point.
You know, what's the difference?
Good point.
Just run the ball on 4th down.
Yeah, if it was so easy to get it just running it, why didn't you just go for it on 4th down after you had an incompletion?
Right.
Good point, Freddie.
You know? Let's go to Aaron.
7-3.
Let's go to Aaron in Wisconsin. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I have a question for you. What is the likelihood of Welker playing on Sunday? I've been
Andy?
Checking up on him, and it appears he has a concussion and a minor neck injury.
He has a concussion. He did not practice yesterday. I don't know about today.
Neither
well, he wasn't
Manning.
Allowed to practice yesterday.
Yeah.
Because the protocol was Thursday. So
he can be
no
extremely limited or whatever the ruling is the next, and then they decide on Friday. But it's not in their hands.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah, just because hopefully, obviously, I don't want the guy to be hurt. But, you know, any sort of weapon that Manning doesn't have is better for us.
Oh, absolutely. But on the other hand,
you know,
maybe they
receiver.
Let Welker play and they shouldn't, and he forgets which team he's on. And that could be good, too. You know, you come back and you have those flashbacks.
That's why he's the best. Right there.
Good point. I mean,
he's unbelievable.
And honestly, guys, I think we're going to pull it out. I think
he
I wrote yesterday about having the chip on the shoulder And I think that's going to work to our advantage. I mean, I think the Pats are pissed, and I think they want this win. You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Daron Harmon, Logan Ryan, Nate Ebner, they are going to be so pissed out there. They are not going to let Manning beat them.
He's such a sarcastic guy.
I know. I know what you're saying, but I still think we could pull it out. I mean, Brady is 9-4 against Manning all time. So I still think our team has a great chance to win.
I do, too. I believe, though, that the Patriots should be the underdog, and they are. And that's for a reason.
What's the number, Paul?
2.5
Yeah.
So it's 5.5
Right.
Sort of.
Right.
So, but I'm with you, Aaron. I don't feel as bad about this game as I did like 3 weeks ago, looking ahead.
Stunning.
I mean, we held up against...
As I said, he would think it's 3 weeks when we had the original fight.
Four of the five defensive backs are hurt, and he doesn't feel as bad as he felt then.
Virtually nothing but bad things have
happened. I'm hearing reports from Eric that they're all out there.
Virtually nothing but bad things have happened since we had the fight, and yet he feels better.
If the inactives come, you know, on Sunday, and all of a sudden... Tlaib's not playing, and okay, I have a right to change my mind, okay? Is that okay?
So you're going to change your pick late?
I'm not, well, it'll be too late for this game.
No, I mean, I couldn't do it.
It'll be too late for the show.
Stick with the Patriots.
No, I stick with what I did in the show, but obviously my hopefulness will change if,
and certainly the Broncos aren't playing, I don't think, at the level that they were in the first month of the
season.
They're
absolutely not.
They are no longer on pace to shatter the scoring record by 220 points or whatever it was.
It sounded like 100.
Right. Which is exactly what happened in New England in 2007.
Yeah.
They started this game
and I talked about
and then this month they started
to everybody.
I said it a million times. And I'm sure that teams are going to start to figure out some of the things that they're doing. Now, they're not stopping them, but instead of 40, it's 30 now.
Right.
There's a difference. You're going to start... figuring out some of those screens that they've been doing, and you're not going to let those same plays beat you that were beating all the teams in September.
And it's the way it works. You know, like, it was like after Moss had 23 touchdowns, and everybody's like, next year, so over under 19, I'll take the under. Because special seasons are special for a reason.
Yeah.
When a guy has 2,000 yards rushing and you say over under 2,000 the next year,
under.
I'll take the under. Right. Mm. It's a special season for a reason.
Right.
Now, they still have,
and it rhymes.
They have 400 sometimes. Points in 10 games. And that's the most that anybody's ever had through 10 games. So, I mean, it's not like they've been shut down the last few weeks.
But what if they had in the last four games, three games?
You know, Eric is right. They have started to sort of look a little bit more human over the last month as opposed to the way it was in the first month.
And according to Twitter, it's snowing in Denver as we speak.
Okay.
And, you know, the weather and the injuries, I think, will be at equalizing factors. But New England's injuries are happening right now couldn't be at a worse spot.
You're right.
This team.
But it could be interesting because the injuries on Denver right now are to the receivers. And the injuries on the Patriots are to the guys that are trying to cover those receivers.
Yeah.
So
luckily they have five good
receivers.
And the guy
trying to pass to the receivers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest one of all.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though.
They all play, but second snap of the game, Tlaib leaves. Third snap of the game, Welker leaves. Fourth snap of the game, Julius Thomas leaves. Fifth snap of the game, and then it's like, wow, this really isn't playing out like we wanted this matchup to look.
Yeah. Manning and Brady get hurt?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I mean.
What
and
watching?
All of a sudden, it's like Mallett versus, what is this, Osweiler?
Were you guys,
it's preseason Osweiler. Game three.
When you guys were watching the game here on Monday night, did you see all of the close-ups they kept showing of Brady's hand and the red marks?
It was a bloody mess.
Now, there were two red marks this week. Remember last week or the week before, there was there was that one red mark in the middle. Then there were sort of like two of
them. It's almost like it's bloodletting.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Like
that's
relieving.
That's exactly my thoughts.
Right. Like they're cutting it open. Like
to
you know,
drain it.
Like when you get a boxer.
You get a boxer who has a cut.
Right. Cut me, Lou. Cut me.
You think that's what they did?
I don't. It looks
do they
like
do that to broken hands?
Because I was wondering if he just
but it was swollen.
There's a lot of swelling and it's hurting.
Don't they just
mobility?
Use a needle and take it out?
Yeah, I thought.
I don't know.
But you
when
saw
I had
those
knee
you
saw
injuries.
Those
they drained it, but they used a needle.
What
did it cut you? And
that's
like,
why I wanted to ask you guys. What did it look like to you?
It just looked like a scrape to me. It looked more like you got it hit on a. You know,
I thought he was just bleeding.
An injury.
Who knows? You got. I'm not dismissing your theory.
Yeah,
I am.
I'm going to start to have questions about our medical staff
theory yesterday. And I think
if
that was
we just use like a razor blade to fix things and cut out things.
Oh, about
that he was benched.
Yeah,
he admitted. Tlaib said yesterday he definitely he's day to day. But he
it tightened up on him.
Tightened up on him.
Yeah,
it was an injury.
Up on him.
And
he
by the way
he
was
highly to get back in, but
highly entertaining.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yesterday.
Back to his old
he
stuff.
Was actually, what
nah,
he say?
Nah,
he was actually respectful. He told me to just ice up. He didn't want to punch me in the mouth or something like the guys from St. Louis.
And
he was talking about
Janoris Jenkins.
Yes.
Steve Smith threatened to punch Janoris Jenkins. And he goes, not like that guy in St. Louis. He wanted to punch in the face.
Yeah.
And then he just told me to ice up. And then Jeff Howe said,
very thoughtful.
Like, yeah, that was thoughtful. He goes, yeah, very thoughtful.
Well, that's good. He's in good
He was.
Good mood.
Oh, he's hilarious. Yeah.
He turned that around quickly because Monday night he was in as pissy a mood as I've ever seen.
Well, as we were driving out of the stadium.
Rightfully so.
You know, on the bus, they had that little area. I think like a radio station.
They were broadcasting,
you know,
live.
Sponsors, yeah. a tailgate and also a post game. And as we drove by, they had the speakers out there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's like, which bus is to leave on? Which bus is to leave on?
Yeah, it started off going, see you, Patriots, losers. And like all these fans were like cheering.
You're not
and
the first team that left this way.
Number one defense.
No, you're the fifth.
Right. Wait a minute. There was a radio host?
Yeah.
Yeah,
a DJ.
I would have stopped the bus and said, I'm right here. You got a problem with it?
A DJ.
I mean, seriously.
With the speakers.
Who are you,
out there,
big balls?
So
you can criticize me, but don't like ask like you want to know which bus I'm on.
Oh, yeah. He was like,
let's do this.
Which bus is to leave on?
Seriously. I would be, stop the bus.
This. Let's do this. He comes out with his stupid Patriots hat cocked to the side.
Man, let's do this.
Seriously. I'm not going to let some guy call me out like that.
I got TB back here doing bombs.
But it was, and we sat there for a while. It was real slow going out of there.
Worst police escort ever. We sat in traffic for a good 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
It seemed like a half hour.
So it's pretty remarkable you guys were only, whatever you
an
were.
Hour, only an hour behind hour. Schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
So, let's go to Chris in New Brunswick. Hey, Chris. Chris.
Turn down your radio.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Chris had his chance.
We have definitely evolved into like we're a real show now. This is what happens. People are listening and then not ready when they.
Yeah, if you want to call back, Chris, go ahead.
Give me a break.
Yeah, oh, we're boy. Not that douchey like him, but.
TG and NJ, keep hoping, Fred, that the weather is going to bail the Patriots out. Yeah. Isn't going to be a factor, I'm afraid. Even in a snowsuit, Manning will have his way with the Patriots' depleted secondary. Only way the Patriots win is by Denver mistakes or the officials make another bad call. I suppose the game plan will be to run the ball. How is Denver's run defense? He says. And also,
they're pretty good against the run.
How will the.
But I think that might have something to do with the fact that teams are always throwing because they're catching
behind.
Up,
right? Yeah.
Not necessarily calling them the, 2000 Baltimore Ravens against
right.
the run.
Also, how will the crowd receive West? Cheers, booze. We know what
Cheers.
Sound. Paulie
booze.
Will be making.
Cheers.
I suppose it will be booze when he runs into the end zone as he tears up the Patriots secondary.
That'll be booze.
Yeah. Sorry to be a buzzkill, Fred. I just don't see how they can win this game. You know, well.
Who is that buzzkill?
TG and NJ. Don't watch then. You know, you already know what's going to happen. Just go watch another game. You know?
You can't. It's the only game on.
College. Maybe a college hoops game going on somewhere.
Sunday night?
Yeah.
Not a lot of action on Sunday night.
Nah.
It kind of helps their ratings.
Yes.
Oh, quick note from practice that I forgot. Mike Wright made an appearance.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a fascinating note.
Looked like he
Fred,
had lost
you
about...
You have a comment about that?
Looked like he'd lost about 100 pounds, too.
Yeah.
Very svelte.
Not surprised. Just is what it is.
I know.
I'm surprised about
but,
that.
But, yeah, he was...
He was an undrafted rookie out of Cincinnati who was 300 pounds and covered kickoffs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I know. But, yeah, I totally didn't even recognize him because he'd lost so much weight. And then somebody said, oh, that's Mike Wright, because he also had, like, a big bushy beard. And
this is going to sound like a joke, but it is not. Did he have sunglasses on?
He did not.
Okay.
And it was very sunny out
Good.
There.
I didn't want that taken, but seriously, if he was still having problems, if he was outside, he'd have sunglasses on.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good sign for his post-concussion issues.
Yeah, I hope so, because, boy, I remember that last press conference he did in the old media workroom.
Yep.
That was really sad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Andrew in Tempe, Arizona, if Tlaib does play this Sunday, do you think that he should be benched because of his personal foul with Steve Smith? Hell no.
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 God, no.
Jeez.
Crap, no.
No, that happened at the end of the game.
people still want to chime in on the Carolina game. Dr. B out of Seattle, Washington, longtime listener.
What's
you
up,
guys
Doc?
Are always engaging and fun to listen to. Regarding the last play, I'm confused as to why the lady play wasn't under booth review. I think he meant last. Aren't all turnovers subject to review with a potential controversy at hand? If this option was open, did the official up above screw it up? Overall, I was pleased with the performance, even though they came up short.
According to Mike Pereira, it should have been reviewed because it should have been...
But you're reviewing the turnover.
But you're reviewing the turnover, not the penalty.
No, you're reviewing whether the contact with the ball by the defender occurred before the illegal contact on the receiver. A ball that's tipped at the line of scrimmage, you can do anything the hell you want behind it.
Yeah.
So if he, it's the same thing. If he contacts the ball before the stuff behind it with Kuechly and Gronk, you can review that. Now, I don't think there's a shot in hell that happened before that, but they could have reviewed that aspect of the play.
And reversed? Because I thought you were just reviewing whether or not it was a turnover. It was, certainly was a turnover.
No, but it's the last 2 minutes of the game, so the play, all plays are subject to booth review.
Right.
And you can go to review. Let's say, for argument's sake, that Gronk is coming across the back line in the end zone. He's going to make the play, and that's when the pass interference occurs. Instead of intercepting the ball, maybe the guy was 10 yards further up, and he jumped, and he tipped the ball. Well, now the pass interference is legal, provided that it took place before the ball, after the ball was tipped.
Yeah, but that's...
So you can go to replay to check to see if the ball was tipped before or after.
Right.
Pereira is saying, you could have done that. Did the interference take place before the ball was intercepted? If so, that negates...
But there was no question as to whether the ball was tipped. I think that's moot.
It's not a moot point.
I think it is, because I think what you would be reviewing is whether or not it was a turnover. And whether or not there was a penalty.
You're not listening to what Andy's saying.
That penalty doesn't happen if the ball is touched before the penalty occurs.
Yeah.
That's the rule in the National Football League.
If there's a tipped pass, anything goes after that.
Right.
Any defensive contact with a thrown ball.
That's reviewable.
That's reviewable.
No, I know, because you're reviewing whether or not it was a turnover.
No.
No, you're not. Get the turnover out of your mind.
The turnover is irrelevant. Just pretend the ball bounced to the ground.
If it was still a tipped
pass. The contact with the ball that matters. The contact. He doesn't have to catch it.
If whoever it was, the linebacker or safety that intercepted the ball. If Lester had dropped it, there was still a flag thrown for pass interference.
And there's still contact from a defender with the ball.
They could have reviewed to see if the pass was tipped before the line of scrimmage.
If they thought the pass was tipped, then that would negate
the pass interference. Right.
Right.
Well, there wouldn't be any.
It doesn't matter whether it's tipped or caught. If the contact with the ball by the defender occurs prior to the interference, the restriction, as they want to call it.
Yeah.
By the way, the NFL's argument that they're standing on is that the restriction happened after the contact, or at simultaneously, I guess. So they were worried about the timing of the contact and the contact. Contact with ball, contact with Gronkowski. And I also think Pereira was also somewhat insinuating that looking at it over tape might have given them time to kind of figure out what they in fact were calling.
Yeah, because it was initially catchability.
Right.
In essence.
Right. Well, it was initially nothing.
I actually think
secondarily on the pool report after they got their story straight in the locker room, it was catchability. And then the third time, it was the restriction and the timing of the restriction in regards to the interception.
Yeah.
You know what? They're full of crap.
Right.
Yeah. I actually think they should have stuck with the catchability thing, because to me, that's the biggest argument. That's the only argument that I side
anything.
Well,
physics proved he could catch it.
Yeah, but to me,
because he can plant from 16 miles an hour in less than a third of a second, and he only had to go.
But I think the argument that you make is that ball was not going to be caught by Gronkowski. Now, I think it's still pass interference because he never got the opportunity to fight for the ball.
Correct.
Right. And that to me eliminates
the uncatchable thing.
He had 0% chance of catching the ball, in my opinion.
I don't agree with that.
I think it's 100% pass interference because he was going to get position where he could try to break up the play.
Luke Kuechly,
and who knows?
Guy.
Maybe he breaks up the play, the ball bounces in the air, he catches
it. He knew he was going to lose.
Right.
There's a million things that could have happened.
Had not Gronk been warded off the play.
There's also a million things that could have happened had Brady made a better throw.
Right. But all those things
he gave the officials the out.
Right.
The officials took it.
And maybe that was, you know, back to the start of the show. Maybe that's what Bill was trying to get at. You know,
Brady sucks.
No, we got to do better so we don't put ourselves in a position where they screw us.
Mike Vrabel in the back of the room.
But you know how
was the message here? Brady sucks.
a lot of times at the end of a game like that, your quarterback is throwing it up for grabs in hopes that maybe there's a pass interference penalty. In the end zone, you get it first and goal on the one or down there.
Right.
It could have been Brady was just thinking he sees Gronk and guys around him and he figures, I'll throw it to him. It looks like he's going to get mugged. We're going to get a penalty first down on the one.
Yeah, but he's got to throw it to him.
Well, I know, but.
Because there's also actually a chance there that if he throws it to him, Gronk fights more.
Yeah. Because
Gronk clearly kind of saw it underthrown.
Right.
Kind of gave up, whatever you want to call it. there's no saying that he couldn't out-muscle Luke Kuechly and catch the ball.
Sure.
If you throw it to where he's got a chance.
I give the odds in his favor against any defender in the league.
6'3", 230 versus 6'6", 260.
There was no way they could have picked that flag up.
Right.
That makes it all different if Brady threw the ball.
So it's Brady's fault.
If Brady threw the ball.
Brady admitted he could have done a better job with the throw.
Brady's fault.
Brady said it.
Yeah, he said it.
That's on me.
I know. I just didn't know Fred would.
Well, but the fact that Brady said it.
Brady gave Fred his out by giving the
abyss. Yes, he'd be arguing with you and I for putting it on Brady. Stop picking on my Tom.
7-3.
Rick in Derbyshire, England. Not sure if anyone mentioned this on the show yesterday. I've only listened to the first half of the podcast. But didn't the Panthers influence the officials before the final call? On the pass interference call that Dobson got a couple of plays before, the Panthers sideline was protesting that the ball was uncatchable. The officials stood by that call. But maybe the Panthers' protest put the uncatchable ball thought in the officials' heads, and this might have influenced their decision on the last play. I'm sure Bill would never try to influence an official decision in that way. Great show. Keep up the good work, and F the New Jersey Jets. It's a good point, because that was a sideline call.
It was.
And it was the sideline ref that ran in and said, no, uncatchable. So
it's not
rule that out.
Yeah,
And they never think about whether or not the play is uncatchable every time they call pass interference.
Well, not on a pass like that, they don't.
It is interesting, though, that play happened so soon before the last play. And you have to wonder when they got together if they were like, we owe the Carolina one here.
No, I think they were referencing, remember the league sent that memo? We don't decide games on the final play with a flag.
Well, I think that was a factor.
Well,
I can't believe they did that by the first one.
But
why would the league say that?
Now it's 4th and 10 from the
45. Because they don't want it to end like this.
But
they'd rather it end with like...
But if there's a clear penalty on the last play of the game, you have to call it. Right. Doesn't matter if the league says we don't want it to end that way.
I agree with you. Too damn bad.
If there's a blatant penalty, you have to call it.
But we see, like NHL, the final minutes of a playoff game, you got to freaking kill somebody to have a penalty called on.
And I think that's the right way to do it. I'm not for consistency within games. I want stuff that you get away with early in the game. It's not the same at the end. That's why I didn't like the field goal calling the Jets thing. You didn't call that in a second quarter field goal. Don't call it with the game on the line in overtime.
Well, that was fixed.
Maybe it was.
Alex in Philly says,
that was my biggest problem.
Fixed, you goof.
My biggest problem with the field goal call wasn't whether or not it was a penalty. It was, why is this the only time it's ever been called?
Right.
The game's on the line. Right. That was my problem with it.
I
don't
just thought
want
it was
that.
The first time that they had a pulling guard run into the back of another guy.
I know he did it. But that's not making Patriots fans feel any better, right?
Why do I smell
it's the same thing.
Something burning?
You right? smell something burning?
I do too.
Just like I know Kuechly interfered with him.
I do three.
But they didn't call that.
Should we be concerned?
Well, no, not until we hear the alarm.
That smell that occurs quite a bit in here.
Okay,
maybe
nothing's.
You should,
I've never nothing's
maybe
ever.
You should bring some air fresheners.
You should watch your
flames.
Diet. Alex in Philly. So two of our three losses have been the result of referee screw jobs. A call that never gets called before or since that day against the Jets, and a call that gets called in every game all the time until it doesn't. I'm with Paul. Officiating stinks unless it's in the favor of the Patriots. Then I'm all for it. Dean Blandino is a clown. I don't like the mechanics he used in his explanation. It's hard to explain yourself properly when you're talking out of your ass. Anyway, on to Denver. My biggest fear is that the secondary is so banged up that Julian Edelman will be guarding Eric Decker or Welker at some point.
I asked him.
The good news is that the offense looks good again, and both Welker and their tight end Thomas are both hurt. Hopefully, if those injuries worsen, we can win a 38-35 shootout, fingers crossed. Now, that would be a shootout, 38-35.
Okay. Fred's stamp of approval.
If the weather and the wind are as bad as the forecast is right now, I don't expect the score to be in the 30s for either team.
I do.
Yeah.
You do?
Because the wind is fading.
I'd be stunned.
If
one of the teams didn't end up in the 30s, I'll be stunned.
I think Patriots are guaranteed to score 30.
You say that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amr writes in from the Bay Area.
Andy has said so many different things. I'm not sure who's picking. I really have no idea.
Wait, what do you mean?
I know. Well, let's leave it that way.
All I've said is I expect the Patriots to lose, and I guarantee they're going to score in the 30s.
Oh, okay.
Those two things are possible.
I didn't say it.
I know it's been several days, but I still can't get over the screw job the ref served us last Monday. My only saving grace is that I'm flying in tomorrow for the big game on Sunday, my first Patriots home game.
Oh, then you got to get over it.
I'm worried about the secondary, but the offense is clicking, and in Bill we trust. I think we will pull out yet another win against the lowly Peyton Manning. P.S., when I wrote in last week, all you said that you'd possibly be available Friday so that I can buy you drinks. I'm flying in Friday afternoon. Let me know if we can set this up with you. Thanks.
Not me.
Probably not. You know, we like to get the hell out of here. I mean, no, really. I mean, yeah. But, you know, just let us know where you are. If I got nothing to do, maybe
I'll make sure
in.
We avoid that part of the stadium.
let's go with Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
Christian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
All right, I'm just calling in. I wanted to give my prediction. I usually don't do this, but this is, you know, Brady Manning, and I
pick it and stick it.
Yep. Big game.
Great, you know, game of the year, man. I loved all these matchups going back over the years. It's just it's great. Unfortunately, I think we're going to come out on the other end of this one, though.
Boo.
I just think
it's coming out the other end sounds like something I did with your mother last night.
Oh,
wow, wow.
Yeah, that alfalfa looks good. Wear that to bed. I'll be right in. I'm going to get the holiday spirit here, you know?
Careful where you hang that candy cane, Christian.
All right, make your pick.
He already just said
it. Oh, what was it?
He didn't make a score. Patriots are going to be out.
Denver's going to win.
Yeah, but what's the score?
Yeah.
I need a score.
Oh, yeah, give a score, Christian.
35-31 Denver.
Oh, wow.
I think it's going to be an absolute air show. I think that... Danny's going to
laser show
and get out there and
Pedroia's
I don't trust this secondary against Walker, Thomas, and especially the tight end, the other Thomas.
Are you going to be stunned if Walker doesn't play?
I will be. Yeah,
I kind of will be too.
I'm telling you, there's a chance he runs out and goes to the Patriots bench.
Stop, Fred.
What's wrong with
I know. He said that earlier, too. It's
pretty funny, though.
I know.
The first time, the way he said it was perfect.
Yeah, because he said it with a straight face the first time.
No, he said it like you knew something was coming, and then he delivered.
So, sorry, Fred, I had to pick against the home team, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be in front of that TV cheering my heart out.
All right.
Cheering my heart out. More right, Perillo and hat.
Thanks for calling in. I did have something to say.
By the way, I'm starting to think it's you. I think there's a delay between when you click on guys and when they actually can hear us.
Because even Christian wasn't ready.
Yeah, so I think there, and it might not, I don't mean it's just you. Like, it could be a delay in the system of the computer. When you click it, there's like a one count before they're actually up.
Could be.
So give them a second.
They hear, I know the from testing it. They hear
thing.
A little, like a suction noise almost, and that lets them know they're basically getting transferred onto the air.
See, so you got to give a little pause before you.
Oh, no.
Okay, I just clicked on Eldridge, who says he was at the Carolina game.
Oh, hey. No! We suck again!
Hey, Eldridge, how you doing?
Fine, how y'all doing?
What happened to you
Saturday
night?
Yeah, where were you?
I mean, Sunday night.
What night?
Yeah, what night? What are we talking about?
We were all at Bikinis. I was waiting for my Camaro, and it never showed up.
I did show up Monday night.
Sunday night!
Bikinis, the party, with the fan club.
Man, I was so mad I had to go to work the next morning. I just left down there mad behind all them damn Panther fans screaming, "Go Panthers! Go Panthers!"
No. Sunday night, Eldridge.
The day before the game. Fred was looking for his Camaro ride.
We've been talking about it for months. You kept saying you were going to be there with the Camaro and buying us a drink. There was none of that.
Not Sunday. You said lunch Monday. Not
lunch Monday.
Oh, my God.
Munch Twunday.
Anyway, all right. Well, so what do you got, Eldridge?
What I got? Okay, I don't know. I'm just on the secondary. I just don't know. If you think any couple of Carolina, how you think you can do against Bates?
Not well.
Not very well.
No, not well.
Yeah, but there's a difference, though, in how, you know, and I agree. They had a hard time, but you also had to worry about Cam Newton running. You don't have that factor this game.
Right. That's
so
true.
You don't have to play the two-way game you did with Cam Newton with Peyton Manning.
I'd rather worry about Cam Newton running because I got guys up front that I think can at least
I mean, you can make that
I'm
case.
I'm more worried about all the receivers running by me in the secondary.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Because Harrison, if you can't cover Ken, you can't cover nobody else either. That missed tackle, the last 4 minutes, man, I bit my hat. You know what I mean? I just
actually,
bit my
no.
hat. But
almost never.
I'm just hoping we rebound Sunday night, but it's going to be tough if we do.
Well, we'll see. What do you think, Eldridge?
Give us a score.
Give us your prediction.
A real prediction? Okay.
Yeah.
No, a fake one.
Well, okay. I mean, in his defense, okay. That's what you're going to get us in about an hour.
Oh, wow. See, now,
he's calling you out.
You don't think when I say the Patriots are going to win, I don't really believe that they will?
No, I think that you always believe they're going to win.
Right.
So it's not really any validity.
The only time I didn't do that, and I was wrong, I think, was that Atlanta game.
Atlanta game. Well,
I think.
Yeah. So what's your prediction? All right, yeah, give us a score.
28, Denver, 23. That's what I'm
going to go with. So
Patriots win. Wait, you just ripped the secondary up and down,
yeah.
And they're holding Peyton Manning to 23 points.
Like I said, maybe, but I'm just hoping.
No, you said it. I didn't say it.
Wait, is that a hopeful prediction or a real?
Well, obviously it's hopeful.
All
right, what's the real prediction?
Denver, 45.
Okay.
17?
Wow.
Wow, they turned the ball over a lot if they only scored 17
points.
All
right, thanks, Eldridge. 17. Wow.
Oh, man.
Patriots turned it over 3 times if they only scored 17 points.
Probably.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com. A lot of emails coming in.
28-23. I mean, 45-17.
Let's see. Dave in Milwaukee. First of all, yesterday's show was great. Paul, there was not a single thing that you mentioned that I disagree with.
Wow.
Specifically,
that's
when
never
you
happened.
Said that you were not encouraged by the Patriots' performance against the Panthers. I feel exactly the same in that this team has fallen back to the same old tendencies as the past 6 years. You can put up points, but when push comes to shove, you can't get off the field and stop anybody.
Right. And you go
same
to AFC
old,
title
old.
Games and Super Bowls.
I personally was more encouraged in the beginning of the season.
I don't
when
like when you play
scoring
the role
as
friend.
Much, but the defense at least looked at least mediocre, which is more than you can say for it now. To me, our lack of playmakers on defense shine brighter than ever against the playmakers. Jones was AWOL. Hightower was burned on multiple occasions. Poor tackling all around, and our secondary not looking for the ball when it was thrown. Injuries are a part of it for sure, but it comes back to our failures in the draft on defense, if you ask me. Okay?
Well, I like when Andy plays the role of Fred. I can only handle one Fred.
Sorry. Now I'm positive, Fred.
Now we go to AFC Championship.
The last 6 years, what a horrific run it has been.
But if this same argument takes place like 3 weeks from now, and you're arguing, you know, how good the Patriots are and how they can be poised to make a run, and he's telling you, Fred, they just don't have the defense to do it. No. And how did those seasons end? Right. Wait. Right. What happened when they played the Giants? What happened? What happens when they play Baltimore? What?
I don't know. You know, you're one play away from winning the Super Bowl twice.
Yeah, but
one
that's
play
not
away
what,
from
that's
going
not
to
what
a
you'll be
Super
saying
Bowl.
In 3 weeks when you're telling everybody why they
what
can't win.
What I'm saying
win.
Right now is good enough is good enough.
is factoring into your analysis.
Zach
is what I'm saying right now.
Zach in Medford says, love the show. Just wanted to see
exactly.
If you guys knew that Edelman was wide open on the right side of the end zone on that last play.
A lot of people say that.
Tom should have known that the defense was going to clog the middle of the field because of Gronk. So Brady should have taken a shot to the right side or even go toward Dobson, as he is the infamous player who made the catch
not
at Marshall from about the same distance to the goal on the field.
They could have won the game twice on each of his catches.
I would have thrown the ball to Devlin first.
By the way, he tried to make one of those Marshall catches earlier for no damn good reason when he just stuck out the left
damn
hand.
Damn good.
Right? You remember that play where you just catch the ball? You're not superstar. You're not at Marshall. No more one-handed grabs. You have enough trouble with two hands. Still, use them.
Abraham writes in, do you guys think that a mad Brady coming home where we're 5-0 this year and it's against Manning will have an effect on whether or not we win?
Can he cover?
You have to say that all game long against the Panthers last Monday, we were able to move the ball up and down the field, and Brady was vintage all game long. Basically, we got robbed, and Brady is mad. Do you think there is a chance that Brady comes out and is just in full Kobe Bryant mode?
Yes. The white Mamba.
Yeah, but the only thing is everything you just said about everything you said about the Patriots offense would be true of the Patriots defense the other way. I mean, Carolina marched the ball up and down the field, and if Peyton Manning comes in here and does the same thing,
we have to win 55-54.
Who has the ball last? I mean, it may be lower scoring because the drives take longer. I don't know. I don't think the Patriots have no chance to win this game.
No, neither do I.
Because their offense is good, and I agree with you. I agree with the email I just said about Brady Monday night. I think he was marching the ball up and down the field.
He's mad
Absolutely.
As hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
But the same is true on the other side. I would envision Denver marching it up and down the field every time they have it, too.
Christian in Philly says, it was a great game Monday. I have very few really big complaints about how we played. My only real concern is with the personnel decisions. Why is Edelman playing the outside wide receiver role over KT? I mean, 14 snaps, he had two catches for 60 yards. Jules clearly is best used as a slot wide receiver, either coming off the bench for Dola or taking his place when he gets injured, not as an outside guy. When he has to play the outside and let Dola be the slot guy, he's ineffective, and the stats show it. Cincinnati, two catches for 35 yards. Miami, two catches for 7 yards. Pittsburgh, one catch for 11 yards. And Carolina, three catches for 27 yards. The offense getting this contribution from the number two outside wide receiver is holding it back. The Carolina cornerbacks weren't that good. KT could have potentially had a 100-yard game versus them like he did versus Atlanta's rookie cornerbacks, which could have further opened up things for Dobson and Gronk. I realize KT isn't the most polished wide receiver, but he still has more ability to make plays on the outside than Edelman. He has shown he can get off press coverage and get open. His only real problem was the double catches, which most rookie wide receivers struggle with and can improve upon, as we've seen with Dobson. Too long?
No, Wookie.
This offense will never reach its full potential if we only have one viable outside wide receiver. KT, for all the criticism he gets, makes a lot more plays and is just overall more effective than Jules on the outside. The offense will be best when it has KT, Dobson, Dola, and Gronk on the field at the same time. So why does Bill continue to play Jules over KT? He can't be satisfied with his production.
I thought he was wide open on the right corner of the end zone on that last play.
That was the last email, right?
Right.
Yeah. No, but he's saying he's wide open.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
But,
yeah.
You know, so we have conflicting reports.
I think he was on the field because of the situation. I'm
reliability.
Not sure they're ready to go, and
yeah.
I know he had the catch against New Orleans, but 2-minute offense, I think they're
no
not
choice
sure.
That day.
Right. So I think they're going with the guys they think can line up and run the plays and move. And
that said, I think that the premise of the email has some validity. I think he probably takes it too far, but
oh yeah,
I
too
do
long,
think
too.
With Jules and Dola.
Yeah. No, I do think.
I mean,
that
when Ryan snaps the ball to Tom and Josh calls the play, and you have Nate blocking on one side and Logue Dog on the guard.
Shut up. I do think that Edelman is not suited as an outside receiver.
No.
Now he may be better right now than Tompkins just because of experience, but I don't think that he is suited to be on the outside.
But
that's the
Tompkins
premise. I
played.
Think.
It was just the situation.
He played 14 plays. That's
right,
what
yeah.
he's saying.
But this
situation dictated
I think
who was out
to
there.
The
oh, no,
reliable.
No. The last play
heady
is
options.
Different. That's a different argument. The last play.
But
he's
I think
talking
you're going
about
to he's talking
see.
About
he's
all
talking
game.
About the last 3 weeks.
But he's talking about games in which the choice
Edelman,
was Edelman over KT.
Since Amendola came back, Edelman has been the choice over Tompkins.
And this guy's
Tompkins.
Role,
Tompkins'
sort of.
Playing time went down. When Amendola
but
came
Dobson's
back,
has
and
also
Edelman's
increased.
Hasn't.
Dobson's has also, he maintained or surpassed.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I think that's
well,
the decision.
From the right. beginning of the year.
Yes.
Right. This guy is saying that it should be Dobson and Tompkins.
Yeah, I didn't like
with,
what
with
I saw
Edelman
all the time when it was Dobson
with
and Tompkins.
With Edelman filling in.
Neither of them proved to me they're the reliable, developing, great players that fans seem to think
I don't think
they
anywhere
are.
Near as much of those two rookies as virtually everybody else in New England
I actually
has.
Think they're in the roles they should be now. Complimentary, extra, few catches here, few catches there, make me a play occasionally. And that's what they should be as rookie
yeah.
receivers.
I would agree with you. I would agree with that. That larger point I would agree with. But I don't think much of Edelman as an outside threat.
No one does. I don't think Bill does.
So therefore, put Tompkins in the game, let him get better, and see what you have. That, I think, is the larger point that the guy's trying to make.
We're going to take a break, but first let's go to Chester in Portland on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, just a couple of thoughts quick on the team overall. You know, first off, with that email referring to this team regressing on defense, you know, I firmly believe that this team overall has not taken a step back. I mean, this is a battle-test team. They've won and lost tough games. You know, I just feel like the mental fortitude of this team is far and beyond years past. And, you know, beyond that, we're looking at second and third string in some positions. I mean, you know, I'm not here to be an apologist on defense, but compare this defense's overall performance out there to years past to me is absurd. And, you know, I just feel like this is a completely different team in terms of their makeup and, you know, provided we get healthy, especially at that corner position, I think we got a lot to prove in that area, you know, overall. But, you know, big thing here, you know, we've got a durable power back in Blunt, too. You know, just, you know, if, just going back to this team's overall, you know, where they are today versus years past,
You know, we've got a guy that can power the ball in. And, guys, I mean, seeing this Vereen in there, it just makes this offense click on third down. It's night and day, you know. To me, the keys of this football game coming up, I feel like we've got to have ball control. Got to keep that offense off the field, the Peyton Manning, and turnover time, big time. That's all I got. Take it easy.
All right, see you, Chester.
All right, that's Chester, and I agree with him. To me, the fallback on defense this year is directly relatable to injuries.
Yeah, I know, I mean, and, it's not and even I mean, up for debate.
And I mean, it, you
no,
know,
too, I think it's.
I mean, too on, bad on they the, have to overcome that. You know, yeah, but as opposed to other years where it was ability, they just weren't playing
right.
well.
Mm-hmm.
This year they were playing well. They got hit hard, and that's what we're seeing.
Right. There's no regression. It's falling apart because all your starters are either on IR or limited.
But I do think, you know, whatever reason it is, it's very similar. This what happened in the last drive the other
result
night.
The result is the same.
I'm not even talking about the result being a loss. I'm saying how the loss came about. You had the lead in a tight game, and you weren't able to hold it. I think it's very similar to what it had. Now, I agree. There's extenuating circumstances. They've had more injuries on defense this year than they probably have had in the last couple. So that's a big part of it as to why. But to say it's not, you know, this team has shown fortitude. This team always shows fortitude. The 2009 team is the only team I can remember under Belichick that was kind of, they didn't really have any mental toughness. Every time they went in the road, they got their doors blown off. That's the only team I can ever remember under Belichick that just had no toughness. I think this team is always tough. I think this team overachieves on a routine basis.
All right. We're going to overachieve and eat for a little bit. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of your emails and the picks at the last portion of the show.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part. Knows her for.
She works hard for her money, yeah. On the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right. Back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398. The Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Boy, the cookies are good today, huh?
Best ones best. In a while.
Oh, phenomenal.
White chocolate chip
right out of
with
the oven.
Cranberry.
Moist, warm.
They're still very, very hot.
Yeah. Soft and supple.
Okay, but they were good.
They were like sex, I told Eric.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, get rid of that soundbite. That is dirty and inappropriate.
Hey, how did Scott Sudikoff
the
do things yesterday?
That he thinks that
no,
way.
I hear he was good.
Yeah?
A lot of calls.
Kevin, how'd he do?
Hey, we got a lot of calls.
Good.
And John Rook checked in from San Juan.
Nice.
On his layover and gave his take on the no call.
Excellent.
So it was a good show.
Good.
Where was he on his way to?
He was on his way to St. Thomas.
Oh.
Basketball.
For a basketball tournament.
PC basketball tournament.
The
tough
Paradise
gig.
Jam, as he says.
Paradise.
Tough gig if you can get it, huh?
Peanut butter and
yeah.
Jam.
Your boy Andy Big Al called in.
Big Al.
He called in a while. But we had a good debate.
Boykin
on the,
co-eds.
We had a good debate on the interpretation of what is deemed uncatchable. And, you know, went through the rule book a little
oh,
bit.
Boy. Oh, boy.
It was good stuff.
Sounds like fascinating stuff.
It was good stuff.
Toby from New York, what's the best way to stop Manning? He loves to get the ball out quickly, especially with those quick out patterns. To me, this makes blitzing pointless. I think we should rush four, play bump and run on the wide receivers, and have the linebackers and safeties playing a lot of short yardage zone. This will force Manning to move on to his second and third option, giving us a couple extra seconds to get in his face. From watching him over the years, it seems that the longer he holds on to the ball, the less accurate he is. I know this game plan would be susceptible to the long ball, but I think it's better to make Manning beat you downfield than with the short stuff. Do I have a point?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like most of everything he said.
Absolutely. Make him beat you downfield and outside the numbers if you can.
See those wobblers?
He doesn't throw a great ball.
No, never has. That's the one thing I'll say. I don't jump on the bandwagon that is he's losing it or since the neck. He's never thrown a pretty ball. For a guy who's maybe the best quarterback ever
right. And
spends his entire life doing one thing, throwing a football, he's never mastered the art of throwing a spiral.
Brady has. In his career.
Somebody mentioned it's like, you know, Brady and Manning, like watching Ali and Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, who's Ali and who's Frazier in your mind?
Brady would be Ali.
You think so? See, I thought the opposite, which isn't good because I think Ali was better.
Mm.
He was the better fighter.
He was better. He had more style.
But neither of them is really like talky.
Right.
And,
it may not be a
good analogy. No, not talky, but like their game.
It's a good analogy.
It may not be a good comparison.
Because of that, I don't think you can necessarily pigeonhole. Like, to me, it was Ali was the tactician and Frazier was the bull.
Right.
Well, who's the bull out of
Manning
and Brady? They're both cerebral, prepared quarterbacks that probably exceed their physical gifts with their mental gifts.
So then what's the comparison?
They're both Ali.
Yeah, what would be the rivalry comparison then, if that's not a good one?
Bird Magic?
Okay.
That would be better.
Yeah.
Hey,
and then who's Bird?
Who's Showtime?
I don't know.
Well, Brady would be Showtime.
Yeah, but he doesn't have
I don't think so. I think Brady's off, except for 07 and on, Brady was always, when he was winning, he didn't have the big offense, and he beat Manning, who did. You know? He beat Showtime.
Are there any other good boxing ones?
Hearns and
Tyson
Hagler?
Holyfield. Which one's the ear biter? Yeah.
No.
Thomas Hearns and Marvin Hagler?
Brady's a... Oh, I won't say.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just unique. Maybe there isn't a comparison, you know?
Well, it is pretty unique, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a little bit weird, especially, like, Manning is entertaining, and everybody says, oh, he does all the commercials and everything, but he's, like, so dorky, too.
Right, he's still down to earth, weird, he seems, and he's not flashy.
He's a weird guy.
He's not Broadway Joe.
No, he's very weird
in
his makeup, so I think the comparison is hard to make with him.
He's a gym rat.
And Brady.
You know, and so is Brady, except he's got the supermodel and
but Brady is flashy from afar or with, in like a, but he's not flashy in terms of personality, which usually goes with that. So they're both a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, I wouldn't consider Brady down to earth.
No.
No?
No. I think he's always been very sort of celebrity.
But he's not flamboyant in his the way he carries himself or in his style. He's flamboyant in his lifestyle, maybe.
In his dress. And
yeah, but
know,
not
everything.
In his, I would think he'd be more Broadway Joe voice at. He doesn't. He doesn't go all the way into that persona.
He's not out there.
Right. So I think there's...
I think he's
pretty unique.
I think he's like Namath, only he's private. I think he does the things that Namath did, only Namath used to tell you about it, and Brady doesn't.
Well, he doesn't Brady's womanize, private. Though, does he?
No. I'm talking about when he was younger.
He does Giselle online, too.
I don't think that he was ever, quote-unquote, down to earth.
My husband cannot bang me and other girls, too.
You're worried about that drop that Kevin keeps playing, and then you say things like that? Wow.
Did you see somebody tweeted me yesterday in that voice on Twitter, like, my husband cannot throw the pass and the flag, too, or something?
Justin in New York quickly just says he's glad to see Josh Boyce returning kicks. I would have liked to see him return
kicks. Yeah, he didn't return any kicks.
Could have put Paul back
It's just good to see him back there because we talked about that.
We're going with fat returners.
You know, would be
I got
be
good hands. I
could
have caught those.
And we were wondering why they hadn't used him, and now they are. So,
but will he ever get his chance?
I don't know.
Because what if, like, Leon Washington is suddenly healthy this week? Does he go out there now? So Josh Boyce just got to collect 5 touchbacks, and
he didn't even collect them.
Oh, God. Pat and Agawam.
I turned my mic off.
The negativity of the fans this week sucks. Vince Wolfsburg's not coming through that door. Ty Law and Rodney Harrison are not coming through that door.
If they
but
are.
Seriously, I understand that the Broncos are arguably the best team in the NFL so far this year, but what happened to the imperiousness of the Patriots nation? In past years, even if we were playing a vastly more talented Peyton-led Colts, our fans would have the nobody thinks we can do it brazen mentality. I know this isn't the 03 or 04 Patriots, but with all the injuries, 7-3 is pretty damn good in today's NFL at this point in the season. So let me offer, well, you can't have 7-3 at any other point in the season. You have to do it at the 10 game.
Except the bye.
So let me offer the fans my boisterous prediction. Patriots 38, Broncos 27. The game is sealed on a classic Manning interception that is returned for a touchdown by rookie Logan Ryan in the final 20 seconds of the game.
Wow. He grabs his nuts as he crosses the
field. Yeah,
boy, that would be great, wouldn't it?
No.
No, because he got...
Wait, the last part or
yeah.
Grabbing his nuts?
No, if that's how the game ended.
That's what I thought he was saying.
I said the last part. Like,
if that's how the game ended.
That would be great. That would be another chapter in Manning's meltdowns, Foxborough, everything.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and I agree with the emailer, and I don't...
What does imperious mean?
I don't really sense...
Condescending, like the air that you're better than...
Oh, you.
Something. Yeah, basically.
Do you sense that Patriots fans don't think there's a chance in this game?
I think that there's a 30% don't think there's a chance. 70% think
I mean, I've heard people like Christian say that. I think we're going to be... I heard people like Christian say that they're, you know, they don't have a good feeling.
He's of the 30%.
But he's not saying that there's no chance the Patriots can win.
Oh, no. He's not saying there's no chance. Well,
our callers were all on that side.
The one thing I didn't agree with
in
the email...
You're the only one that said there's no chance.
I didn't say...
I said
a million times.
You've come around to my way of thinking.
Hoo-ah.
No, I think any time you turn the ball over multiple times, which is I said 3 weeks ago, that's your chance.
Yeah. But before, at one time, the opinion that you were most closely related to was that there was no chance in hell for the Patriots.
Without turnovers.
Well...
And that's exactly what I said 3 weeks ago.
Well, it's come along.
You're
then
the one who's changed your tune. You're the one that told me when they lose to Carolina that you might think differently. Nothing really but bad things has happened since you said the Patriots would beat Denver. But now, I mean, the Patriots wouldn't beat Denver. Now that, you know, they've lost more guys on defense, suddenly you think there's a better chance.
I like what I'm
Denver.
Seeing.
You think the season's over because they lost their must-win game.
I never said it was must win.
That's what I read in PFW.
I know. I was misquoted.
You're the editor.
And you know what? I chose not to change that. But basically, I said, think this is a must-win game, the Carolina game?
So
I
you
threw
didn't,
it out there.
You didn't really have the conviction. You believed it, but you didn't
really
have the conviction
in
your
thoughts. Well, I did, and I still feel that
I did.
You lose to Carolina,
the
chance that you lose two in a row. I mean, obviously, there's that chance.
So if it was a must-win game and they lost it, what happens?
I thought at the time Carolina was the more winnable game.
I thought it was a tougher game.
Right, so now you think it's different. Because the Carolina game is over and Denver hasn't happened.
Denver's happened.
That's all I'm trying to point out.
But what I saw
for
wrong.
You thought going in that Carolina was the more winnable game.
We saw a continuation of the offense being back.
Which is what we all expected.
You know, well, we didn't know, though.
No, but we all expected it.
Yeah.
We hoped.
Now
we expected. We didn't know.
Now we have
proof.
Now we have proof.
Absolutely.
The offense is back. They went up and down the field against the best defense in the league. They made mistakes, and that's why they lost the game.
Right, and I think if Denver does the same thing Sunday night, that's how the Patriots can win.
That's how one way they can win, sure.
That's where I'll let you paint me into the corner. I feel like that's the only way the Patriots can win.
Right, that's the only way
you
feel
So if you
want
to paint
win.
Me out to be the hater, that's how you would
you
do it.
You think everything being even, Denver wins this game.
I don't think there's a chance the Patriots can win.
Okay.
Wow, there's no chance, he
said. If everything is
there's
even.
There's no chance.
Save that soundbite.
If everything
Paul's
is even.
It has to be an act of God. In order for the Patriots to win.
So you always got to take it a step to the absurd. But the part about the email where he said, you know, like the vastly superior Colts teams that we used to go, that's not true. The Patriots were better than the Colts.
Offensively, they had the best offense in the
league.
Right,
but defense counts.
But, yeah,
and that's and the reason why people don't feel the same way now.
Offense bad.
But the reason why people don't feel the same way now as they did then is because you're not anywhere near as good on defense as you were then.
That's correct.
So that's the big part that's changed. I mean, yeah.
Wait a minute. Where's Felger on all this? Fred just churned that up. Offense bad. This team is going to win with only offense the rest of the way. Where's he?
Ridiculously backtracking.
Oh, he's such a bleeping fraud. Why does no one ever call him on it?
I don't think there's any question about it.
I did too. No one heard it.
I don't count, but I have.
I mean, don't people notice the man is just an absolute fraud of all frauds?
Sure.
That all he does is try to churn up discussion and try to be the contrarian and try to get calls, and he's a shock jock.
But that's fine.
No, it isn't.
He's got 4 hours of radio to do it every day.
Have some credibility.
He's got 20 hours a week of radio.
You know why you, you know, there's a way you wouldn't have to.
You can't be bland.
You know what
you could do? Entertain people for 20
hours
a week.
There's a way to not have to manufacture interest.
Sometimes you have to.
You know what the way is? For not to have the two hosts, one says something and the other says, you're absolutely right, Mike. They force themselves to have to create interest because they don't have an actual show of intellectual back and forth. Right?
Well, you should say it on your show, but on that 1510 show someday.
I did yesterday.
Yeah?
No one heard it.
Well, tree fell in the woods.
Like that Geico commercial.
Can someone
we'll help here?
That's a good commercial.
Stewie in Dowington, Pennsylvania says Manning is Batman and Brady is the Joker. See, I'm not buying that one either.
Nah.
Robin in Alaska says it's not Ali and Frazier that is Brady and Manning. It's the 1978 battle of Ali versus Superman from DC Comics that is Brady and Manning. Now everyone fights over who gets the spit curl. So Batman versus Superman.
Didn't he say Ali?
Yeah. Oh, he said Ali. Who's Ali?
Muhammad.
Muhammad?
I'm guessing there was a comic book when he was at his prime where somehow he made his
way. Oh, really?
I don't know.
No, I'm basing it on that email.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Now, see, you can't do Superman Batman because that's not really fair. One is an alien from another planet who's indestructible.
Right.
Chad would say, yeah, but maybe,
I guess that could be
maybe the snow
the
is kryptonite.
The other is Tom Brady.
Maybe
the snow is kryptonite.
Right.
And Superman and Batman is the privileged boy wonder who has all the money in the world and was coddled throughout life.
And didn't Batman get Catwoman, who was a lot more sexy than Lois Lane?
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
Okay.
We got it.
Yeah.
Superman, Batman.
And Batman has all the cool toys.
Right.
The mansion.
He's flashy, but he's reserved in his personality.
That's right.
This is good.
I like it.
This is actually really good.
I like it.
And the geek is
we
Superman.
It out.
He's Peyton
and
Manning is a geek Monday to Saturday.
Right.
And then on Sunday, he's Superman. He's the best. This is freaking awesome. And look
what it took to get Fred excited about this analogy.
Can we do like a slideshow on the website, or would we get in trouble from like Batman and Superman and all them.
Chad, though, says that it's Iceman.
Ask for forgiveness later.
Exactly.
That's where you go.
Right.
What could it cost us? Like $1 million, $1.5 million?
Paul might like this one. He says Brady and Manning is like Iceman and Maverick and Top Gun.
Iceman and Maverick.
You're dangerous.
So who's Maverick? Who's like the reckless guy who flies by the seat of his pants without a plan?
That's like Cam Newton or,
yes.
One of these.
Right. Yeah.
That's terrible.
I do love the movie. Thank you.
And I like the topic. Keep them coming.
Batman, Superman.
Keep them coming.
Is the leader right now.
Yeah, that is the leader.
Because Tom Cruise, basically, in any movie he ever was in, was that guy.
Right.
He was the brash, young, not go by the rules kind of guy who has immense talent, but can't harness it.
And Scientologist. Then,
that's in real life. You're talking about his roles. I was talking about, like, Top Gun, Cocktail, Days of Thunder, you know.
A Few Good Men.
A Few Good every movie he's ever been in, basically.
Risky Business.
Risky Business.
Right. Jeff in FLA, we'll wrap up the emails
Valkyrie.
With this one.
All the right moves.
We were just hitting our stride with these comparisons.
Cocktail.
Any chance of some
helpful
crowd
locker room at
2
o'clock
noise Sunday night? No.
No.
No chance.
Locker room at 2 o'clock.
Did we get new speakers put in the stadium? Pump it in?
Ooh.
No.
Right.
That's only what Indy used to do.
And they also pumped
and
in
I
like
think
a,
Seattle does it too now.
A flu virus.
I know. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. I think Welker gets cheered when he plays, if you know, announced or whatever, and then I think he gets booed when he catches.
I would like to think that's the case.
I hope they boo his white ass off.
I think they boo him the whole time.
No, I really don't. I hope they cheer him.
I hope they do too, but I don't think they will. I still think they blame him for leaving. Most of them.
Yeah, he did have some animosity down the stretch there. Super Bowls and then leaving. And
yeah, there are.
I think.
Look, there is that contingent of fans that still think
the
that,
ungrateful
you know,
ones.
He wasn't as good as. I don't get it.
Yeah, but
I'm
one of those, and I wouldn't boo him. I'm one of those contingents of fans that doesn't
true.
Think he wasn't quote
he
unquote that
good.
Good.
No, but this I'm talking about this. There's some fans that turned with that Super Bowl.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah. They should.
Yeah. Paul always thought that.
I always felt like that.
They turned after the Super Bowl.
Right. And I didn't. I still think he was great.
I do too.
Yeah. And he is great now.
Mm-hmm.
And he deserves to be cheered. I mean, business is business. We
hear
it all the time.
Right.
Business.
You know.
Business
the way his business is done.
I mean, God forbid if Brady is 38, 39, and we trade him. Are we going to boo him when he comes
to the
back
Jets?
Here? You know? Now, Ty Law went to the Jets. Remember that?
Yeah.
Came back for that one game.
Yeah.
Did he get booed? I don't remember.
I don't.
Like, we booed Adam.
He should.
They booed Adam.
You go to the Jets, you get booed.
So Brady on the Jets.
Double A battery.
You think if Brady.
Right
so
off
you
off
think.
Oh, right wait a helmet. Minute, Fred. No.
That is
no,
utterly
no.
irresponsible of you.
Again.
All right,
you're
a
supposed
C battery.
To, you're, supposed to, you're supposed to protect
AAA.
Andy.
Those square AAA's. Ones you put in a lantern. That has
yeah. What is wrong? Seriously. You're supposed to protect Andy and I from ourselves. And you
just need to make sure you bring your batteries in a clear
it's
bag.
It's the Jets. It's the Jets. Only bad things can happen.
Had a press conference yesterday.
All right.
Got to hurry.
Let's get to the picks, Paul.
Big week for Eric. He took the prize this week.
Wow.
He's going to be more Terrius. Is it Terrius?
Imperius.
Imperius.
Terrius.
11-4 for Eric. 10-5 for Fred, so he continues his torrid pace. Andy was 9-6, and Paul, 8-7.
Guy who keeps the book.
Taking it up the rear.
Finishing in last. Yeah, right. Although not overall. With the spread, Andy.
Woo!
Wow.
With a not-so-dominant 7-5-3 mark this week.
Is he winning?
The rest of us?
Did the Patriots have not-so-dominant three-point wins in the Super Bowls?
Yeah.
This is what he will do to you in 3 weeks.
Oh, I know.
When you try to tell him that they're going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Just be prepared. That's the way he's going to talk.
Right.
That's what he will do when he forgets about the fact that he feels better about the loss Monday night.
I do.
When that passes in about a week and a half, that's how he's going to talk to you. When he
I am
you.
Worried that I am going to have to spend a cold freaking week in New Jersey, New York, and the greater area.
The greater area. Okay.
Metro
the rest of us went 6-6-3. So it was everybody was tightly
three
bunched
pushes.
Up. For the season, Fred 107-55. Andy, I'm sorry, Paul and
oh,
Eric.
Oh, come on, you can't tease me like that.
Well, he just did.
That would somebody be a hell of a leap.
A value.
All right,
that's like saying the lottery numbers and saying, and the Powerball is 17 when it's really 19.
Quickly.
Yeah, it's just like it. Yep. Anyway,
A-hole.
Eric and Paul are 99-63. Andy is 96-66. With the spread, Fred just utterly dominant. 85-69-8.
Andy
and Woo! Eric are tied for second, 78-76-8, and I am in last, 72-82-8.
Above 500 with the spread.
That's good.
That's good.
All right.
I'll take it.
Let's get to the games. Tonight, Thursday night, 8:25, which is actually 8:32. New Orleans at Atlanta. I bet you liked it when they made the schedule. Like, oh, this is going to be a great game.
Yeah.
They probably even pumped their fists like you just did, too.
Not so much anymore.
New Orleans by 9.5.
Where is it?
At Atlanta.
At Atlanta.
I am going to take
bring
Atlanta.
On Atlanta.
New
bring
Orleans
on
to win, because obviously they're the better football team at this point in the season. And I'll lay the points.
Yeah, do it. It's the right thing to do. Because
it's the right thing to
it
do.
It is.
And that's why he's imperious.
I will lay the points as well There's because no even though the Saints' offense isn't as good on the road, they're going on the road in a dome. So it's a little bit mitigated.
Right.
So,
so I will
home.
Lay the points.
Right.
Okay. Fred?
Yeah. New Orleans easily.
The Falcons
easily.
Have quit on their coach, too.
The Falcons have quit. The fans have quit. You know,
Algie Crumpler is calling for Dimitroff's job.
There is no home field advantage.
They're shredding him down there.
Really?
Yeah.
New Orleans all
Under
the way.
Fire.
Sunday at 1, the Jets at Baltimore.
Baltimore Jets by 3.5.
Baltimore by 3.5.
Baltimore. I am just going to go with Baltimore. This is two teams I have not been happy with the way they performed this year. They're unpredictable, unreliable, inconsistent, but I will take the team that I think is better.
I agree with all of that reasoning. I'll take the Ravens to win and cover.
However, if history
right.
is anything,
the Jets should,
the
win,
Jets
this
should
week.
Win this
right.
week.
Yes. But they won't. Two in a row.
You know what I've really aired lately is I've gone away from my two crap teams play the home team theory. I'm going back to that this week and we'll take the Ravens.
Going back.
So
to
is
that
it?
Theory.
I'm taking the Ravens, so it's unanimous.
Unanimous.
Everyone takes the Ravens.
Yep.
So we're all in the
well,
Ravens.
The Jets are the number 30 team, I believe, in the Wilson-Hart Power Index. They're right. a pretty bad football team.
Yeah, don't but be... then again, the Broncos are like 18.
That's a good one, Paul, because that's really where they are. They're not like six or anything. A hole.
I said that with a little bit of a list.
Yeah.
Not like six.
Aren't they eight?
Yeah.
I think they're six, maybe seven.
Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Sunday
you said 18,
one.
By the way.
One loss teams. You know.
Ridiculous.
Today?
Yeah, it's all about wins and losses with you. Idiots like you only see wins and losses.
Kansas City up at like number two, right?
Idiota. Oh, and they're not good.
Pittsburgh
well, they don't
Cleveland.
Have a good defense.
I don't know. Well, Denver just beat them.
They've been pretty consistent.
Gotta
all
hurry.
Year.
What's the
locker
team?
Room?
What's
they didn't hold Denver's offense Pittsburgh in check Cleveland. As much as anyone all year.
Locker Cleveland by 1.5.
What are they playing?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Cleveland by 1.5 in Cleveland, I assume?
Yes.
Usually what Pittsburgh at Cleveland means.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Yep. I will too. Pittsburgh to win and cover.
Booyah.
But they're underdogs, so of course they're going to cover.
That's why I didn't say anything. Only you did.
Right.
In your imperious
ways. Sticking with it, Freddie.
Yep.
I told you, I'm going back to it.
Uh-oh.
Cleveland.
Wow. Yeah.
Two crap teams, I'm taking the home.
Who are you taking, Paul?
It Cleveland. Seems like Pittsburgh should be the pick here, but remember, when you get those intradivisional games, teams know each other.
They're not good.
Cleveland actually hasn't played that poorly.
They haven't.
I'm going to go with Cleveland.
With who, Fred?
Cleveland.
There we go.
Tampa Bay at Detroit, Sunday at 1.
Detroit by 9.
Detroit to win and cover.
Not believing in the little resurgence for the Bucks?
Nope. Don't believe in crap.
Paul, what did the Lions do to me last week?
They screwed me, as usual. They screwed me.
And you know what? I'm going to go back to them again because they're playing the Bucks, and I just don't believe that this resurgence is
Bye,
real.
Yeah.
So I will take them to win, but I'll take the Bucks to cover.
Just so you know, there is a cross-out on Eric's pick there because I wrote down Detroit to cover by accident, so you guys can
okay.
not accuse me of any improprieties. I will take Detroit, and I will lay the points.
I will take Detroit, and I will take the points.
Good, Fred.
Sunday at 1, Minnesota at Green Bay.
Green Bay by a surprising 5, I thought.
Who's their quarterback?
What's his name?
Scott Tolzien.
Is Castle quarterbacking?
No, I believe Ponder.
Ponder.
Is.
Ponder.
They're pondering it. Ponderous thoughts.
Not a good game.
In Green Bay?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to treat this like two bad teams playing at home. I'm going to take the, I mean, at yeah, you know,
yeah.
Packers.
Paul's thing.
Yeah.
Right. The home team.
Yeah.
Packers.
Two crap teams, you take the home team. That's
yeah, that.
It's very simple.
Always be a Packer.
Like the man who created it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Green Bay both
don't
ways.
Don't think. Ball. Don't think me. Just pick Green Bay.
I'm going to take a flyer here on Minnesota. Jared Allen has his best game of the season.
Okay.
Sunday at 1, Jacksonville at Houston.
Another surprising spread
Lord.
To me. Houston by 10.
Oh, come on.
I'll take Houston to win and cover. I just can't pick my Jordan Todmans.
I'll take the Texans to win, but even for the Jaguars, 10 points is a lot. I'll take the Jags to cover.
Did you know the Texans have the number one ranked defense?
Do they?
Yeah, I am going to take Houston as well. And I'll lay the points.
Yep. And did you know I think J.J. Watt statistically is having
Me
a very
too.
Similar
I think
year
Jacksonville
last year.
Sees the light at the end of the tunnel, which is a high draft pick. They've given up.
It's actually a train.
Houston. San Diego at Kansas City, Sunday at 1.
San Diego at Kansas City.
Kansas City by 5, Kevin Collins.
Kevin Collins, San Diego at Kansas City.
Why is everybody yelling?
Surprised that this
go.
Is a 1 o'clock game. But
all
anyway.
I heard was yelling. I haven't heard the spread.
5.
Kansas City by five. I'll take Kansas City to win and cover. Get at home. They get the job done. They are the better football team all around.
Kansas City is, and I'm upset at the Bolts for having screwed me like the Lions last week. They went to Miami in a game they should have won. They blew it. So this week, going to Kansas City and Arrowhead, I'm going to say
go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Oh.
Ironically, sounds like you're getting screwed a lot.
Yeah, I wish.
I am going to take the Chiefs to bounce back and win the game. However, I think San Diego will make it close and they'll lose by a field goal, so I will take the points.
This is the biggest upset of the year. San Diego wins this game.
I was thinking about it, Freddie.
You know, it's
couldn't pull the trigger.
In Kansas City, tough to do, but I think they're going to do it. All right, Sunday at 1, Carolina at Miami. Carolina at Miami. Ooh,
Carolina by
continue.
4.
You know what this is?
Let's
trap
game.
Sunday. This is a major trap game, but I'm not going to take the trap.
Yeah,
I'm just going to take Carolina
yep.
to do what they should do, even though I'm worried they won't do.
They will do. Carolina to win
points?
And cover.
Yeah.
I will take Carolina to win, but I, again, will take the points.
What's the points again?
4.
Holy
shit. I'll take Carolina as well, both ways. Sunday at 1, Chicago at St. Louis.
He's going to make it?
Do you need a defibrillator? What was that? Carolina?
Chicago
at St. Louis. Rams by one.
What?
A lot of curious spreads.
Very
there.
Curious.
Chicago getting curiouser and curiouser.
St. Louis. Rams by one. Who's playing quarterback for the Bears this week?
Tears of McCown, right?
He's played very well.
I'm going to take my defense. I'm going to take two bad teams, the home team, and I'm going to take the quinning ways in St. Louis.
I'm going to take the team that, even with their backup quarterback, I still think is better, Chicago, Paul.
Yes, I will take the Bears as well because I'm going to vary from my theory because I don't think the Bears are a crap team.
No.
I'm going to take St. Louis to win the game.
Really?
Yep.
And I'm with the guy who's doing the best. That makes me feel pretty good.
As I said, Fred, wait 2 weeks and you'll hear how he's talking to you.
Indianapolis at Arizona, Sunday, 4:05. Indy at the Cardinals.
This is a good game, surprisingly.
Arizona by two.
I'm taking Arizona to win and cover. I think the bottom is falling out of Coltsville.
Surprisingly decent game, I think. But the home Cardinals will win and cover. I agree with you.
I will take the Colts. I think they're just a better team, and they've proven that they can go on the road and win games, and I think they'll do it again.
And I agree
and
with Paul.
Upset.
I think Indy wins each week that Luck has to have life without Wayne. He's gotten better. I think that continues. I think he beats the Cardinals.
Have you been reading some of this stuff on Bruce Arians when he left? There's a lot of features this week, obviously Colts, Cardinals, blah, blah, blah. When he left Pittsburgh, and he just thought his career was done. He retired. He was... And he got the call from Pagano to go to, and he's a head coach, and it's just, it's crazy that he, like, literally was thinking, okay, I'm just going to, you know, drink Mai Tais for the rest of my life, and now he's the head coach of the Cardinals. It's pretty cool.
Tennessee at Oakland, 4:05. Tennessee at Oakland.
Oakland by one.
The Matt McGloin era, huh?
Is he playing again?
Yeah.
No. Can't take it back now. I already wrote it.
I'm going to take Oakland. I'll just take the home team.
Those guys that come in their first game, they light it up, and then all of a sudden they put up a 2.3 passer rating the next week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just pick somebody.
I'll take the Raiders.
Two really nondescript teams.
Yeah. They're home. I'll take them.
I will take the Raiders.
Home crap team.
It's because they lost Al Davis. That's all you really had with the Raiders is it was like, oh, Al Davis, he's your dad. Now you got nothing.
It's true.
I'm going to take Tennessee.
Mark
I don't
Davis.
Just the hell with it. 4:25, Dallas at the Giants.
Giants by 2.5, looking to make it 5 in a row.
This is a good game.
Good games, good game.
I'm going to take the Cowboys to win on the road. I'm going to end that streak. Even though I think the Giants have a chance to win that division, I think the streak ends, and the Cowboys are the more talented team, put up some points.
I agree. We are agreeing way too much today, Andy.
I'll take the Giants. I don't think they've played particularly well during this streak. I think they've benefited, A, from playing some bad teams, and B, some luck.
So they played the league?
Some good luck in this stretch. But Dallas, I don't buy Dallas, so I think that they won't sweep the Giants, even though they should.
This is a tough one. I could go either way easily here. I'm going to go with Dallas to break the streak.
Star power.
Yep. I'm going to go with Dallas. All right. We're going to skip over the Sunday night football, go to Monday night.
Monday.
San Francisco at Washington, 8:40.
San Francisco by five.
Two struggling young quarterbacks drawing some criticisms from inside and outside their own buildings. I am going to take the San Francisco 49ers and that defense on the road to get this done. Could be a low-scoring affair.
Yeah. San Fran's not as great a team as I thought they were
going
into the year.
Who'd you take, San Francisco?
San Francisco.
However, they're the better of the two teams that I think are not as good as I expected them to be. And even though coming to the West, to the East Coast, I will take the Niners to win this game.
Hold on, Kevin. Did you get in touch with Eric? So he knows where he's going and all that stuff?
He's right there if you need to talk to him.
I'm going to the locker room.
The other Eric.
You should stay with him, and then it can be Eric and friends.
Oh!
I broke that one out yesterday with Andy.
It's not bad. And does he spell his with a K or a C?
He does. He does. He spells it properly. Yep.
Get one more.
I will take the Niners
KKK
as well.
Show.
No.
I probably don't want
to do that.
I'm going to take the Niners, but it's a real nail-biter, so I'll take those points as well. All right, so now we go back to Sunday. 8:30, Denver at New England.
Bum, 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 bum.
No, Broncos by 2.5. Was that a little Oprah Winfrey? You did a little Oprah right there.
What?
Denver at New England.
My favorite things.
Who's got a new car?
That'd be nice.
But you got to pay for it. What?
Denver by 2.5.
Denver by 2.5. Well, as I said earlier, I think the Patriots will score 30 points. And I also think they will lose. I think they're going to lose a high-scoring affair here. I think too much in the secondary. I'm not buying all the smoke screens. Not all of them are going to play. Most of them aren't. And the ones that do are going to stink. I think most of the Broncos that play that are banged up are going to make plays. Thomas, Welker, too much to deal with. They will not get the pressure. Blah, 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 blah. You don't get the turnovers. You lose 38-35. I'll go with that generic, simple shootout score.
Weather, I think, is going to be a factor. Injuries, not as much as we think. I think those, Andy said, the guys who are important and are hurt are probably going to play for the most part. And I think the weather's going to be the big factor, keeping the score below 30 for both teams.
Ooh.
Denver, 28. Ooh. New England, 25.
Ooh, another three-point victory, just a little bit down the scoring board.
I think everybody knows how I feel about this game, so I won't talk about it
very much.
You don't
think the Patriots have a chance to win?
I think the Patriots will have to play at an exceptionally high rate offensively, and I think they'll make a mistake or two, and that'll be the difference. Denver wins 37-27.
Late in the third quarter, the Patriots are up by 3.
Turns into a story instead of a prediction.
Peyton Manning is actually knocked out of the game at the end of the third quarter.
By?
Glennon.
You're now just flat out predicting injuries.
Ninkovich.
Oh, Ninkovich has got his eye on that.
He's hoping.
Ankle.
And the Patriots win the game.
Dirty. Dirty. Dirty pool by you. Dirty pool predicting injuries.
What's
and
the
exactly
score,
they have.
Fred?
What's 38.
Wow.
To 5.
38-31.
Ditka with a late field.
Without Manning, they're going to score 31 points?
Well, they've already late, scored said. It.
Oh, they already had
oh,
31,
they had 31
in, the third
in the third quarter. So
oh
they were well
God.
On their way to a blowout.
There it so, is. Eric wow. and friends.
So, yep, so that's what's going to happen. Book it.
Book it. Peyton Manning leaves on a stretcher in the third quarter. Now, is it the same injury or a different injury?
It's the same one. It's an aggravated. Yeah.
Okay.
Same injury.
Good to know. So you're not predicting.
He just can't go
injury.
Any longer. He
right.
just can't go any longer.
Right.
Yeah.
Terrible of you. Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Predicting injuries. You and Bill Polian, or Polian as you like to call him, not all that different.
I just play the odds. That's all.
What are the odds that the guy who's never missed any games?
The odds are that a guy with two bad ankles and another team that really wants to get at him gets at him, and he can't go any longer.
Yeah.
We're joined now by Eric Frenz, who's going to be filling in for John Rook in the playbook. Hey, Eric.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Fantastic. Ready to do this.
You've been here before, right?
Yes, once before.
You know the drill.
I know the routine.
Yeah.
Take it easy on me, guys. Not usually used to hosting two-hour radio shows, so.
So you usually do four, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. Half hour.
You're going to have trouble paring it down to just 2 hours.
Eric, now you're doing a bunch of stuff. You're writing for the Globe.
Yep.
Right? You're also doing Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report, Boston.com.
Right? And you're pole dancing on Saturday nights with Foxy Lady. No,
not me.
Okay. But what's your take on the game, you know, from – Monday night.
On Monday night. Oh, man. I did not like that call at the end, obviously. I think it's about time to move on, though, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I mean.
People are going to want to know your opinion, though.
Yeah. Well, look.
Our callers and listeners have not moved on, just so you know.
Well, look, it's one of those things where that gets called on the other side of the field when the ball is not thrown at somebody. So how can they not call it when the guy is 2 feet from the pass? I mean, that's my take.
Right.
But
it was just a blown call.
Yeah.
Or
terrible.
A blown non-call.
Screwed.
Yeah.
They got jobbed.
Yep.
So, I don't know. If you don't want to give your prediction now, just let me know. But what's your feelings going into this game for the Patriots?
I picked Denver in a close one, but I picked Denver.
Me
just
too.
I just
Paul
they too. Have too many weapons.
Eric too.
Too many weapons.
Obviously.
I mean, Peyton Manning on two bad ankles is not a good thing, obviously, but I just don't like how they match up. The secondary's limping into this game. I mean, if they were healthy in the secondary, I would say – you know, they actually match up pretty well. You
right.
know, well, Talib on Decker, yeah. or Talib on Thomas, excuse me. You put Alphonso Dennard on Decker. You put Arrington on Welker, and you match up well.
You had me till we get Arrington on Welker.
I don't know. I'm not one of the Arrington haters like a lot of people are. Not really sure why he gets so much crap.
We're not
here,
either,
but,
to no? be honest with you. I mean, I think he's clearly the weak link of those three, but I don't think he's
when he's
bad.
Playing the right position, he's okay. It's
the
when
problem.
He, yeah.
His problem is his mistakes tend to be in big spots.
Big spots, yeah. And yeah. it's I mean, it's one of those things too where you can kind of see some tendencies where teams try to go vertical against him a little bit more. They don't want to test him on the the in and out stuff, they kind of try to go long against him.
Yeah, because he's pretty physical, he's pretty quick, and right. then you get behind him.
And you know, those comeback routes have always been a problem for him because I think he gives so much ground trying to prevent the
exactly. Back. And it was interesting too because you look at that the touchdown to Ted Ginn. He actually broke up a pass on almost the exact same route earlier in the game, and it was a really good pass breakup. Like he was all over and breathing down his neck and broke up that pass, and then he just gave him a little too
Is
much
that
cushion.
That's the moment where he kind of came from behind.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
it
where
out.
He like yeah. climbed over right. Ted Ginn's shoulders.
It
and
was a good play. At first, I thought it was interference, but no, he timed it really well. And at first I thought it was a
but then he realized
drop.
It wasn't. I think he realized it was the Patriots that knocked the
let
pass
me correct
away.
Myself. At first I thought it was a pure drop, but I did then on replay I saw he really did have an effect on him really dropping did. The ball.
Yeah, funny people won't remember that one.
No, that's the problem. They won't. You know, people think in this town that you should defend every pass. If that was the case, the NFL wouldn't be the passing league it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really hard, and you know, teams don't have shutdown corners. They just don't. There's like five of them in the whole league, if that.
And that kind of brings me to something that I want to talk about on the playbook. The 1 year contract for Tlaib, I feel like it was as much a result of him being inconsistent on the field, being a little bit injury prone through his career, being obviously the off field issues, but I feel like there was a lot of factors that combined into him getting that 1 year deal. And he's playing lights out right now, but now, you have him on the, with the hip injury and he's hobbled up a little bit. That could really affect how he gets his money in the off season.
Sure.
Big issue.
All right. Eric's going to be here for the next 2 hours and then, footballnation.com. As for us, pregame social on Sunday. What time does that start?
Six.
What time the game starts?
Six o'clock?
Six.
All right. And then, of course,
what time the game was Sunday.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.